people again with a new paint job from Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call Mako for a free estimate. They also offer touch-ups, collision repair for damage, dings, and dents, all at a great price. One-third less than the national average. Fall in love again with your vehicle. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Whether you are traveling to or from the lake or river or on vacation, even off to a barbecue this summer, spruce up your ride at Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So we're taking off a little bit early for Independence Day weekend, but I want to play you some of my favorite content from the past few weeks. Here is some of my interview with foreign policy analyst Ian Bremmer. Joining us online is Ian Bremmer. He is president and founder of the political risk consulting firm Eurasia Group and G-Zero Media. He's also the host of the podcast G-Zero World with Ian Bremmer. And he has a brand new book titled The Power of Crisis. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Ben, good to talk to you, man.
So in your book, you talk about a bunch of geopolitical challenges that you think are facing us. And the idea of your book is, how exactly do we solve these problems? What sort of methods can we bring to bear to solve the problems? Why don't we start with the most obvious problem that has disturbed the globe over the course of the past couple of years, and that is the COVID pandemic. So what lessons do you think we've learned? And it's pretty widespread, you know, accepted that there will be another COVID. It could be more severe. It could be more deadly. We got lucky, honestly, with regard to the death rate of COVID and the fact that it affected the elderly significantly more than it affected younger, more healthy people. But, you know, God forbid there should be another pandemic in the future that's much more severe. What sort of lessons have we learned from the pandemic that we can use going forward?
Well, we're starting with the tough one, in the sense that the United States, in my view, comes out of COVID more divided than it came in, and COVID is a piece of that, the politicization of both sides. Secondly, the U.S.-China relationship comes out with less trust than it had going in, even less trust because of COVID, because of the way the Chinese obscured it, lied about it, for the first few weeks and then ongoing. But there are lessons to be learned. One big one is Europe. The Europeans, in response to COVID, learning how they responded badly to the 2008 financial crisis and also the Eurozone crisis after that, recognized, no, we can't treat the poor Europeans as if they have to go their own way. We have to actually significantly redistribute wealth so that everyone in Europe can get through this crisis. They basically had a Marshall Plan for Europe economically in responding to the crisis that built support for Europe as opposed to building support for Euroscepticism. And furthermore, they were slower than Operation Warp Speed in getting vaccines because they didn't want to pay as much as the Americans were willing to. But they did it at the all EU level, which meant that once they had vaccines, every country, poor and wealthy, had access. So Europe comes out of this crisis actually politically stronger than they went in. And that, I think, is instructive as we look at a response to what is obviously like a very global crisis.
When it comes to a future pandemic that's more deadly, I'm less worried about the lessons that we learned, frankly, because I think that one of the things that tends to happen is people act more alarmed when there is a bigger alarm bell. What about the possibility of going the wrong way? Meaning there's another pandemic that breaks out. It's somewhat mild, as, I mean, again, it's hard to call something mild that kills millions of people, but this was statistically on an infection fatality rate level,
no question, a mild
disease.
Yeah, it's older people and pre-existing conditions. It was very targeted in terms of who was really vulnerable with COVID.
Actually. Right, exactly. So I, on the other hand, I mean, one of the things that is possible to take away from here is perhaps people are going to be more likely to engage in the same sort of top-down government control in case of a mild pandemic that actually has some pretty dire side effects and ramifications. So how do you balance that?
First, there's no question that the United States economically responded to COVID with a big, big fire hose and did that under Trump with Mnuchin and Pelosi together and did it under Biden, too. And look, people like Larry Summers said, you know what, especially the second stimulus, we're overshooting on the fiscal side. We're going to have higher inflation as a consequence. That's part of it. I mean, also the fact that the supply chains were shut down and then suddenly you got this massive demand wage as everything opened up. That obviously made it a lot worse too. So I think, you know, both of those things are drivers, and you definitely will see the potential to overshoot even more if it was a bigger crisis. But from a global perspective, Ben, and of course, this is a global crisis, we need to recognize that for the last 50 years, the big economic trend was the emergence of a global middle class. The pandemic, and now made much worse by the last 2 months of the Russia-Ukraine crisis, that global middle class is eroding significantly. Those countries, the middle-income countries, they're much more highly indebted. They had to take a lot more debt on. They don't have the ability to respond to populations with big economic demands in the context of pandemic and high inflation. And they're the big losers here. So, I mean, if there's a big lesson to be learned from the pandemic, it's that a whole bunch of those developing countries that when we say, oh, it's democracies versus autocracies and all the democracies are with us, the democracies were the ones that 10, 20, 30 years ago were all saying, go free trade because we're benefiting from that. You're actually seeing that kind of reactionary populism in those countries. India now saying we're not going to export any wheat. Indonesia saying we're not going to export any palm oil. That's precisely on the back of the last 2 years. And I think those are very big lessons that need to be learned, Ben.
So are you calling for more globalization and more integration, or are you calling for sort of less in defense? Because it's very complicated. In one sense, you want more globalization because you want to actually harden supply lines, provide more flexibility in the supply chains. On the other hand, it is the globalization that actually made it very difficult for us to ramp up the economy again due to the fact that, like, I mean, right now, China is shutting down again, and they've had this persistent lockdown mentality throughout the pandemic. They're doing it again, and supply chains are getting attenuated again.
Yeah, you want resilience in your supply chains. I mean, there's no question globalized supply chain is what got the Europeans completely vulnerable to the Russians in terms of energy, and that was a really bad thing. But with that resilience, you don't want the politicization of sudden shutdowns. Like, you want to be able to make the supply chains work in ways once they're resilient. And when you have countries suddenly saying, no, we're going to stop exporting because it just doesn't work for us, you want the developing world to feel like they are actually a part of a functioning global economy. And for 50 years, they increasingly did. And for the last 3 years, they increasingly don't. And it's becoming unsustainable for them. So that's the concern. The other thing I would mention in terms of the lockdowns, the big lesson that wasn't learned here was China. China, you know, they came out of this crisis like a shot. They were the one major economy that actually grew in 2020, and they were complacent. They basically said, oh, we can surveil, we can lock down, we can handle this. And the Americans and the Europeans are the stupid ones. They don't care about their populations. Well, we're now learning that zero COVID does not work at all. And they didn't vaccinate their older populations. And they certainly didn't accept vaccines that worked from the United States and Europe, even though we're in surplus right now. And so right now, the single biggest supply chain challenge in the world is that the Chinese have completely locked down Shanghai for 4 weeks. Right. That's a lesson. There is no good reason why the Chinese, after doing so well in the first year, wouldn't actually look at the way this disease was changing over the last 15 months. And they have learned literally nothing from that process.
So, Ian, one of the other crises, obviously, that I think the world is facing that you mentioned here is the crisis of disruptive technologies. And here, again, this is such complicated stuff because a lot of these technologies go to core issues in the West, things like free speech and how we deal with one another. And a lot of us, me included, are very nervous about the idea of some sort of top-down leverage being applied to these technologies in order to, quote-unquote, make conversation better. Because depending on where you're talking about, I think everyone agrees, depends on who's in control, what make the conversation better looks like. So what do you recommend in terms of some of these disruptive technologies?
First, from a macro perspective, I want to recognize that in the 20th century, when, you know, sort of I was getting trained, the single big disruptive technology that was existential was the proliferation of nuclear weapons. We were deeply worried about it. We're like, we must contain it. We have to stop everyone from getting it. Remember, when nukes first came out, the presumption was everyone's going to want them. Everyone's going to get them. We're going to blow ourselves up. And we stopped it from happening. I mean, you look today, and for the last 70 years, that's been an incredible success, but in part because it's a very complicated technology that involves rare elements that are dangerous to handle and easy to contain. Now, when I think about the new disruptive technologies available to the world today and disruptive AI algorithms, and we don't really understand how they work, but we know they make money, but also things like cyber weapons, and lethal autonomous drones, and, you know, moving to the more exotic, even quantum computing. Unfortunately, I think that the genie is largely out of the bottle. In other words, your ability to prevent those technologies from proliferating so that rogue states and even non-state actors will have access to them is incredibly limited. And when we talk about new technologies today, we say, well, we need to make sure that we have as much of them as possible because we need to stop the, we need to beat the Chinese because they're at technological parity. So we need to decouple. We need to cut them off. We can't invest in Huawei. We can't let them in here. And we're not going to certainly let ours be bought by them. I accept that, but I also think that in areas of technology where what we're talking about are existential threats to individuals, to societies, to democracy, and even to our species, we need to be having conversations like we used to have with the Soviets on arms control, that some of these technologies are so dangerous that they need to be contained, that they need to have, you know, sort of common institutions and architecture around them, both with our friends, like the Europeans, the Canadians, the Japanese, but also eventually with our enemies too. And we haven't started that conversation yet. And that's my biggest concern.
Okay. And the final crisis that you talk about in the power crisis, it really deals with three of them: pandemics, disruptive technologies, and climate change. So, you know, when it comes to climate change, it seems like the biggest issue, obviously, is lack of global cooperation. We can talk about global carbon taxes as much as we possibly want. If India and China aren't on board, it ain't going to do a damn thing. And the simple fact of the matter is that if you're India and China and you're developing countries and your main concern is how do I ramp up my economy to take care of these billions of people under our auspices, it's going to be very difficult to get all of those countries to sign on. And it's going to be difficult to say to less developed countries even than those, by the way, you need to keep burning dung because eventually over the course of the next 100 years, you're going to get an increase in the sea levels of a foot. That is not a compelling argument.
That's not compelling.
Right. So what do you recommend in terms of how we address this crisis?
First of all, unlike the two crises we just talked about, disruptive technologies and the pandemic, the climate crisis is one that finally, and not 20 years ago, but finally now, everyone in the world basically agrees on what the problem is, right? I mean, 195 countries have come together and said, yeah, we've got 1.2 degrees centigrade of warming. We've caused it. It's not nature. It's us. And by the way, here are the implications of that today, tomorrow, 10, 20 years from now. Now, there's no question that the willingness to pay for that and how you think we should respond, those are radically different, both politically inside the United States and between the U.S. and, say, China, the U.S. and India. But the very fact that we agree on the nature of the problem, which is increasingly not the case in terms of the pandemic, not the case in terms of disruptive technologies, gives you the ability to start addressing it. And what we're seeing is that you're right. The Americans, the Chinese, we're not cooperating on this, but you're seeing a diffusion of actors all over the world that are massively investing in what the solutions will be. In other words, in the post-carbon energy infrastructure. And China has gotten so far ahead of the Americans in electric vehicle batteries and in supply chain around that, so far ahead of the Americans in terms of solar power, that the Americans, it's no longer save the whales and hug the trees. It's actually people critically concerned about American competitiveness globally that are saying we are not going to lose to the Chinese in influence over post-carbon energy. And so we're going to invest. And you see that happening with the banks. You see it happening with the big corporations. You see mayors and governors leaning into it, even though the national government is whipsawed from one political side of the spectrum to the other. And so you're right that there's not a virtuous cooperation between the United States and China or the United States and India. But increasingly, there is a virtuous competition with no trust at all. Now, India is the big problem, not China, because China is completely invested in this, including nuclear, which we need to do a lot more of in the U.S. India, in the last 2 months, there's been no spring. Delhi was 120 degrees yesterday, 1 billion Indians living under heat stress. And as a consequence, you've got rolling blackouts across the country. And they're saying, hey, we're going to need a lot more coal. I mean, otherwise, there is no way that we're going to be able to take care of our people. And you're the ones responsible for this. So are you going to pay for it? And what I see is American progressives talking about a Green New Deal, which is all based on the U.S., and not talking about a Green Marshall Plan, where if there is no equity for the people that are going to take it on the chin for our development, then we're never going to get them on board. And I don't know if you saw the dedication of my book, Ben, right at the beginning. It said, to a glass half full, that first half was tasty. And the point was, I'm ultimately an optimist. I'm a hopeful person. And I do believe that there are solutions out there. If we're beaten up enough, we will get this stuff right eventually. But I also think we have to recognize that the major global crises that we're confronting today are pretty much our responsibility. Like, we've made them happen through globalization, through the creation of global wealth, and especially in the hands of people like you and me that live in the most powerful country, the most advanced industrial democracy of scale in the world.
Well, the book, again, is The Power of Crisis, Agree or Disagree. It's fascinating stuff. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Ben, always good to be with you, man.
All righty, coming up, we're joined by a candidate for Michigan Governor Garrett Saldana. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Reading, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Get the very best of summer with Black Bear Diner's refreshing summer menu, here for a limited time only. Start the day with sweet cream pancakes with fresh strawberries and lemon cream. Or grab a fresh berry chicken salad for lunch. Dig into blackberry burned barbecue ribs for dinner and end with a fresh strawberry lemon cream pie. Pair any of these with a triple berry citrus spritzer or a summer sangria and you're set for summer flavor. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Zero.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Garrett Saldana is a candidate for governor of Michigan. That is going to be actually a hotter race than I think many people are paying attention to. Garrett, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having us on, Ben.
So let's talk about this gubernatorial race. It's been largely discounted. There are a lot of races people are keeping an eye on. The Michigan governor's race is really not one of them. What makes you think that Gretchen Whitmer is a vulnerable candidate?
Well, I think if you go all the way back to November 2020, when she hammered down on our kids and took away their experiences, their opportunities and dreams, and canceled Thanksgiving and Christmas, then hammered down even more on our restaurant industry, where she put them at 25% capacity, even though our neighboring states, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, were fully open. I guess COVID just hated Michigan. And so she, at that time, she was just following the political science and polling data, not the real science and data. And so that's what made her very vulnerable, and that's why I decided to run, because a lot of people are just fed up with what she has done.
So one of the things that sort of put you on the map was your protesting of Whitmer's COVID-19 lockdowns. You're the founder of a group called Stand Up Michigan. And you were a very early critic of a lot of the policies that she was pursuing. What really got you motivated to act at that time?
Well, with being a chiropractor, I kind of understand how your body is supposed to work and how virus and stuff work too. And when she was telling us what we could and couldn't buy, we couldn't buy paint and mulch. We could go on a kayak, but we couldn't go motorboating. But then she said you couldn't, you know, God forbid you touch that gas station pump handle, you die of COVID. But now we're dying at the gas station pump for a different reason. So when she did that, that's when I was waiting like everyone else for someone in a position of authority, somebody in a position of power, an elected official to stand up, and they were all being quiet. So that's when I started this group called Michiganders Against Excessive Quarantine, which grew to 300,000 in 3 days, which after that, a movement was born. And so as the leader of this movement, it was my job to direct this energy and this passion into a force to be reckoned with. And that's exactly what we did.
So, Garrett, you're not a politician. You're coming from the outside. One of the things that you're campaigning on is transparency. And you're pointing out that Whitmer has been less than transparent during her tenure as governor of Michigan.
Yeah, she was denying FOIA requests to the executive branch way back in the beginning. She wasn't releasing any of the hospital data because if you remember, Ben, you know, we were trying to flatten the curve and not overwhelm the hospital systems. And then we started hearing rumors that hospitals were empty, that hospitals were laying people off, and even some of them are thinking about closing because there's no business. And so, again, I think my number one job here is to restore faith in government, and that's a hard job to do. But we're going to do that through truth and transparency because the Michigan and the American people, we deserve to know the truth.
So we're talking with Garrett Saldana, who is running for governor of Michigan. It is a several-way primary. There are, I think, five candidates who've actually made the ballot at this point. I'm not sure there's any real polling data out so far. It's still fairly early by those standards. But what is the race shaping up like as far as what are Whitmer's numbers in the state of Michigan?
Well, she is batting under 50% now. We know that there's going to be 30 and 40% that will vote for her, that will follow her right off the cliff. But when she took away our children's experiences, opportunities, and dreams, that's when she lost the middle. And there's still 45% of the Republican vote that is still undecided. And what we need now more than ever is not only leadership, but we need unity now. And I think people are sick and tired of the division in the country. We're sick and tired of the fringe left along with the fringe right. And we need to have conversation again. We need to have difficult conversation from a variety of different people and backgrounds and experiences to not only move Michigan forward, but also our country.
And so one of the things that you've talked about in your campaign, Garrett Saldana, is the big tech crackdown on the ability to speak freely. You actually were... You felt this firsthand in 2020. Maybe you can talk about what happened to you with regard to Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced it firsthand. I mean, they have deplatformed 10 of my platforms over the last 2 years for just speaking the truth. In the beginning, they took our group down, which grew to 400,000 people in 4 weeks because we were advocating the spread of disease by being against these lockdowns, because I knew in the very beginning that lockdowns are going to do more harm than good. They're going to hammer down on our economy. They're going to cause a mental health crisis. And we were speaking about the immune system. We were talking about there's different therapeutics that could use to fight this virus, and all that was getting taken down, and they wouldn't allow us to have a voice. It was their way or the highway. And so, yeah, we experienced this firsthand, and we need to take care of that here in the future, too.
So let's talk about some of the other primary candidates you're up against. So it is, as we say, a very large field. The polls that I've seen in the primaries have it extraordinarily tight at the top. There are basically three candidates all running very close. They're 50%, 45% of people by the latest polls are still undecided. So what distinguishes you from some of the other candidates running in the primaries?
Well, I think number one is my leadership. And that's one thing I've been able to do throughout the 2 years is motivate and inspire what I feel is Michigan's greatest asset. And that's the people. You know, we are the movement that went after Governor Whitmer's law that she was using to unilaterally control over all of us. And I led that charge and we gathered 539,000 signatures in 80 days. To take that very law off the books, and we were successful. We've also been activating our movement with getting licensed election inspectors so we can make sure that this next election is as integrous as possible. So I'm not your typical politician where we talk a big game and I'm going to say I'm going to do this and that when I get elected. No, we're a movement of action now, and that's one thing that I'm going to bring to the table in the state of Michigan is that leadership, is that tenacity, is that ability to inspire and motivate people to get things done all the way from the local level all the way up to the state level.
Well, that is Garrett Saldana. You can check out his campaign at GarrettForMichigan.com. Garrett, good luck. Really appreciate the time.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much. And we need all of your help, folks. So if you want to help us take back the state and hammer down and take back our country in 2024, please get involved and donate whatever you can at our website, GarrettFromMichigan.com.
That's Garrett Saldana. Really appreciate the time. Alrighty, coming up, Disney employees are now freaking out. They might have to move to Florida. Oh, no. Freedom and sunshine is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Summer is here, and it's gonna sizzle. Now's the time for a brand new paint job to protect your vehicle from the summer sun. At Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Mako repairs accident damage, dents, and dings. They can even straighten your frame. Mako is number one in value and is approximately one-third less than traditional shops. Plus, they offer a free estimate and works with most major insurance companies. Mako, good work for a great price. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
For smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, call Oasis Financial today at 877-266-9107. It takes just 3 minutes to apply. And once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right. Get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So call Oasis today to see if you qualify at 877-266-9107. That's 877-266-9107.
Better days are today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Call Oasis today at 877-266-9107. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Disney employees who are very woke and very invested in their liberalism, they are very scared they might have to move to Florida. Dun, 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 dun. I know, it's super frightening. It's particularly frightening for people like me who voluntarily moved from the hellscape of California to the wonderful free state of Florida. But the Wall Street Journal is reporting that people are deeply worried because, as we all know, according to Florida law, you're not allowed to say the word gay in Florida. If you say that word, then Ron DeSantis's army of evil bursts through the door and just double taps you directly in the head. That's the way that it works down here. So watch out, Disney employees, or alternatively, everything is fine and welcome to a free state. But according to the Wall Street Journal, the employees are salt. Salt. Oh my God. In July, Disney told some 2,000 members of its storied parks division they had to relocate from SoCal to Florida or risk losing their jobs. Employees said they were given 90 days to decide. Then, in March, members of the relocating group called on company leaders to speak out against Florida legislation limiting classroom discussion of gender and sexuality. In the weeks since, Disney has become a top political target in Florida, just as these employees considered down payments on new homes there. The timing of the park's relocation has placed the Disney workers in a crossfire of state lawmakers and the world's largest entertainment company. The group represents a fraction of Disney's approximately 190,000 member workforce. But the group's experience underscores the tricky terrain companies walk when they publicly engage on social issues, increasingly becoming a state-by-state debate. What Disney and employees expected to be a difficult but manageable transition has become fraught and public for both sides. Or alternatively, shut up and move. I don't understand. These companies are such cowards. They're such cowards. So we relocated our company from L.A. to Nashville. When we did, we had about 90 employees at the time. We now have about 200 employees. Thank God the company has been rapidly expanding. When we moved, here's what we said to our employees. We'll cover some of your moving expenses. That was the entire conversation. Nashville's better. A better quality of life. You're free to stay in L.A. No one is chaining you. Enjoy. And nearly everybody came. That was the entire conversation. And if somebody said, yes, but Nashville, it's a deep red state filled with hicks who married their cousins. You know what we would have said? Well, fine. Stay in L.A. where homeless people are shooting up heroin into their feet directly outside of your front door. Like, really, enjoy yourself. But at Disney, you have to take into account the worries and needs of all of your employees. And so much of this, by the way, has to do with HR departments that now run major companies. The rewriting of employment law in the United States is one of the great untold stories of bureaucratic overreach in the history of the country. It's incredible. Really, since the 1960s, federal and state governments, particularly in leftist areas, have changed HR law so that now employers can't just fire people. Now you have to go through all of these rings and hoops to prevent yourself from being sued by disgruntled employees because, God forbid, your employee should disagree with you and you should say, well, maybe we don't have a meeting of minds. Bye. So now you got Disney, a company with almost 200,000 employees. Now we have 200 employees. They have 1,000 times the number of employees we do. And yet they are more cowardly about firing like 20 employees than we are. It's insane. According to the Wall Street Journal, workers have had a variety of responses to relocating. Some employees have already opted to move to Florida, a Disney spokeswoman said, adding that overall more workers have said they would relocate than the company initially expected. Yeah, no bleep, because it turns out Florida's great. Yet displeasure with the move has prompted months of rancor that are unusual for Disney, which has traditionally been a company where disputes rarely spilled into public view and employees were reluctant to criticize leaders. Yes, that's right, because it used to be that Disney was not run by cowards. Disney is a pretty regimented employer, until it turns out the wokesters got involved. And now, if you work at Disneyland, then they relieve all the rules. You're now allowed to dress according to your whim at Disneyland. So I'm a Disneyland aficionado. I've mentioned this before. My kids, my wife and I, we are all Disneyland annual members when we lived in SoCal. And we are big visitors to Disney World up here. And over the past few years, they started changing all the rules. So it was that when you walked into Disneyland 10 years ago, it's pretty regimented in the same way that in the 1970s, if you played for the Cincinnati Reds, you were meant to not have facial hair and mutton chops, right? You're supposed to be clean cut. for Disney, that was part of the brand. Part of the brand was you walk into Main Street because Main Street is supposed to be like an early 20th century street and everything is of the period. And now it's like, what if you have tattoos around your eyeball and also you have pink hair and identify as they and wear a gay pride pin? It's like, well, what does that have to do with the Disney experience being provided to customers? And the answer is nothing. It's just they're so afraid of their woke employees that they decided to give them all of these special privileges. And well, now you have employees who are openly complaining about it. Yes, because when you give your employees this sort of leverage over you, it turns out that they will take a mile. For some, the political has become personal. One veteran parks worker, for instance, is gay and said he hopes to have a child in the coming years. He has worked for Disney in California for years, said he wasn't comfortable moving to Florida since the new law passed in March. He said he wondered whether his child would feel comfortable discussing his family in a Florida school. Well, here is the thing. I know many gay people who live in Florida. Some of them have kids. And they're fine. Because it's perfectly legal for your kid to say that he has gay parents in a Florida school. It's not part of classroom instruction. That's what the bill says. But again, it just demonstrates what happens. When you have all of these corporations taken over by cowards and then controlled from the bottom by the wokesters, bad things happen to your company and you deserve every bit of it. Alrighty, in just 1 second, we'll get to Harvard, my alma mater. They've now decided that they're going to drop $100 million to redress their ties to slavery. Now, you might recall that Harvard is located in Boston and that slavery was not legal in Massachusetts, like past like 17 something. But yeah, we'll get into that in a second. First, if you have not yet jumped on the Daily Wire Party Bus, a Reader's Pass is a great way to dip your toe into the community. If you're obsessed with news, a Reader's Pass will enable you to read our articles ad-free, including my op-eds, which are exclusive for Daily Wire members only. You'll also get access to our mobile app to read our stories and receive push notifications for breaking news and special content perfect for you when you want to stay up to date on the go. This membership tier is already a bargain at $4 a month. If you're still hesitant, you should check out our special offer right now. We are offering 2 weeks for 99 cents. That's mobile ad-free access to all of the Daily Wire news, exclusive op-eds from yours truly, and breaking news and updates on our mobile app, all for the low price of $1. Give it a shot. I think you will be hooked. You'll get all of that plus 10% off when you use coupon code Shapiro. So stop depriving yourself. Come join the fun. Visit dailywire.com. Use coupon code Shapiro. Become a member today. Alrighty, so Harvard has now decided to pledge $100 million to addressing ties to slavery. So just to get this straight, Harvard says that they can, in the here and now today, discriminate against Asians, but they're going to drop $100 million to redress their ties to things that happened 400 years ago. This seems like great logic. Discriminate against the Asian kid with the 1500 SAT who grew up in poverty in L.A. today. Tell him he can't get in because we need to let in a black kid with a 1200 SAT. That sort of discrimination is fine. Also, we're going to drop $100 million on investigating our ties to slavery, which ended in the United States circa 1865 and ended in Massachusetts. Slavery was illegal in Massachusetts since 1783. So, yeah, good luck with this, Harvard. Just geniuses over there. According to the Wall Street Journal, Harvard University has pledged $100 million to redress its historical ties to slavery. The announcement Tuesday coincides with the university's release of a 134-page report detailing its connections to slavery, segregation, and discrimination. The Ivy League's school faculty and staff enslaved more than 70 black people between its founding in 1636 and 1783. So while slavery was legal in Massachusetts, and that ended in 1783, which I may be no mathematician, that's like 240 years ago. That they enslaved 70 black people 240, 50, 60 years ago. And they're going to drop $100 million related to that? Like, truly? I do love the idea that every institution in America now has to drop hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to redress the cost of slavery. Like, which other historical grievances is Harvard now going to take on? And for many years, it was well known that Harvard did not allow Jews into its law school. This is very well known. Are we going to track down all the Jews who were rejected and pay them grievances? How about the Asians right now who are being banned from Harvard? They going to do that? Of course not. This is all about the generalized narrative that all institutions in America are shot through with racism and that all disparities today between black and white are attributable to slavery, which, of course, is not true. There's some historical hangover because of slavery, for sure. But that's true for all history. All history is contingent. That does not mean that the solution to that problem is to dump $100 million into random research and to fighting racism. This is what they're talking about. Apparently, they have a committee that's going to move to enact recommendations with $100 million in funding set aside. The recommendations are a step in the right direction, although the report does not address the harm to the descendants of slavery. So, we still don't know what they're going to do with the $100 million. Genius stuff here from the folks at Harvard. You know, wokeism makes for very, very stupid policy. Alrighty, coming up, you've heard a lot about inflation and the economy inflating at record rates. Well, let's talk about the causes of inflation. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe and his gang.
I'm going to a wedding here in just about a month, so I'm looking for a gift about $100. And there was like a meat thermometer.
I know Elle said earlier that cash and gifts, there's no difference.
If you're so inclined, you know, we have everything we need already, why don't you help us pay for our honeymoon?
But don't you think that meat thermometer, maybe that is a honeymoon?
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of people worried about inflation, as they should be. We are at record highs in inflation, like 40-year highs. Well, let's talk about what causes inflation. Alrighty, folks, today we are going to explain why inflation is out of control here in the United States. We're going to break it down along three axes. We're going to talk about supply chain problems. We're going to talk about government spending, and we're going to talk about monetary inflation via the Federal Reserve. Okay, so why don't we begin with Joe Biden's big excuse, that is the supply chain. When the pandemic happened, factories everywhere shut down. It is much easier to shut down a factory, as it turns out, than to spin it back up. And the supply chains across the world are extraordinarily integrated in a way that they weren't for most of human history. So, for example, according to some surveys in 2019, Nearly 100% of major companies said that they had some part of their supply chain located in China. Well, China had all of these jobs shipped over there, right, all the way over here, because they have very few labor regulations, because they have slave labor in some cases. They have no environmental regulations. So if you're going to create dye, for example, and then just dump the toxic waste into a river, you ain't going to do that in Europe. You're not going to do that in the United States. Wealthy nations can afford to care about the environment. China doesn't care. So China just pollutes up the wazoo. That means that if you're going to produce a manufactured good, then you are generally going to be doing that in China. If you're going to be doing innovation, if you're going to be doing service industry stuff, you're going to be doing that in the West. And as the supply chain starts to become longer and longer in order to account for the differences between labor supplies in different countries, you start to see massive integration between countries. Well, when something shuts down in China, that means that it's going to have an impact on whatever is the next factory that requires the input. There's a very famous essay called iPencil, came out in 1985, all about how a pencil is created. And take the most simple object that you know of and think about how many different countries this thing has had to go through in order to get to you. When you have a pencil, you have the little eraser. Where does the rubber come from? You have the little metal piece. Where does that come from? You have the wood. Where is that coming from? You have the paint on the outside. Where is that coming from? You got the lead. Where is that coming from? Well, now take a complex product like a car, and you're talking about maybe half a dozen or a dozen countries that the various parts have to come from in order to manufacture that. Well, you shut down not one factory, but many factories all at the same time because of COVID. It's going to be very difficult to spin that back up. You're going to see a real shock in terms of the supply that is available to deal with the demand. Now, when the pandemic hit, what people were mostly concerned about is that demand would completely disappear and you get a worldwide depression because people just would not buy anything ever again. Nobody had a job. Nobody had any money. Nobody knew exactly what to do. And nothing like this had really happened in modern history before, certainly not on a global scale the way that this did. And you combine that with the long tail of regulations that have existed in the West with, for example, the ports. So in the United States, the unions in the United States have bargained, particularly on the West Coast, to shut down the ports for certain numbers of hours per day. You have real problems with how containers fit on ships and what sort of containers fit on trucks and what happens if they can't fit into the ports properly. And so what you end up with is at every place in the supply chain, real delays. Let's say that you have a factory in China and it is manufacturing a product and it has to make its way around over to India where it's used as an input. And that's going to get shipped to Brazil for another input. And then that is going to get shipped over to, say, the East Coast of the United States where it then has to travel across the country. If at every point here you have a delay, you're going to end up with a really, really big delay. One of the big shortages that's occurred here is in semiconductors because it's difficult to produce semiconductors because the technological innovation that is associated with semiconductors is largely in Eastern Asia. 92% of all advanced semiconductors are produced in Taiwan. Another 6% are produced over in South Korea. And when you have a shortage in semiconductors, that means that new cars become incredibly expensive. This is why no one can get a new car now. This is why used cars are pricing above new cars. So the problems of supply chains are very, very real. And to pretend they're not is, of course, very silly. To also pretend, as Joe Biden did, that he can just get the ports working 24 hours a day and that fixes it, obviously is not going to do it. But if this were just a supply chain issue, then again, it would apply to Europe the same as it's applying to the United States. And it doesn't. Which brings us to issue number two, how the United States decided to spend during this pandemic. And the answer is we spent more money than anyone has ever seen in the history of humanity. From 2020 to 2021, we added $7 trillion to the national debt. We spent more money than has ever been seen by God or man. The idea was that the federal government was going to pay everybody to stay home. They were going to pay them hundreds of dollars per week to stay home. That lasted all the way from March 2020 all the way until September of 2021. These extended unemployment benefits, for example. What did this do? It told people, why don't you stay home? People did. People who were working took the money and they pocketed it. By the end of the pandemic, people had more money in the bank, more wealth in the bank than they had at the beginning of the pandemic while many of them were not working. We also suspended mortgages. We suspended rents. We did all of these things. We blew out the spending in extraordinary, extraordinary ways. We did all of this while producing no product. So it was helicopter money. We just dropped money on millions and hundreds of millions of people while simultaneously putting small businesses out of business by telling people they couldn't go to a restaurant. They couldn't go to a small mom and pop store. You could go to a big chain store because after all, you had to shop, but you couldn't go to like a small mom and pop store. So all those places went out of business, but here's a check to compensate you for your trouble. So what are you doing? That's much more money chasing much less product. What does that do? That creates inflation. So that's factor number two, which is how much money the government spends. Next, and finally, we get to the activity of the Federal Reserve under Jerome Powell and company. So these big boys come in and they decide, you know what? We need to not only temporarily backstop the economy, we need to just superheat the economy. So you understand at the very beginning that the Federal Reserve, which had not experienced, as we say, serious inflation in the United States for 40 years, the idea of inflation had become sort of a thing of the past, so much so that there were people on the left who were suggesting that there was something called modern monetary theory. You could literally spend as much money as you could possibly want, and it would do no damage. You would not get major inflation. You would never have to pay it off. It would be totally fine, right? This was an actual viable theory like 2 years ago. Elizabeth Warren was promoting it. And now it becomes clear that we've got this over here. Okay, so what did Jerome Powell do? He made a mistake. He thought that if there was inflation, it would be temporary. Because after all, the demand that he had artificially created would eventually be met by the supply. And now that relied on a couple of things. One, it relied on actual solving of the supply chain problem, which we've discussed before. But also, it relied on the idea that things weren't being overvalued simply by the fact that there was so much money swimming around in the economy. Okay, so the basic idea here is that the lending rate to the banks was zero, right? It was free. It was free for the federal, for the banks to lend each other money and for the banks to borrow money from the federal. All that was zero. Okay, so what that did is it led to an enormous amount of the bank taking out money and then investing in products that they wouldn't normally invest in. So, for example, Carnival Cruises goes down, right? $6 billion. It's $6 billion on a stock price because the cruises are going to be shut down for a couple of years. Instead of Carnival going bankrupt, basically the Federal Reserve tells the banks, we will back your play. So the Federal Reserve starts buying up assets like never before in human history. The Federal Reserve is currently holding $9 trillion in assets. $9 trillion in assets. Okay, they do this by buying up all sorts of product from the bank and then injecting a bunch of money to the banks, which the banks then lend out at very low rates of interest. This spurs demand. It spurs investment. It means that you're going to get an inflated stock market bubble. You get an inflated real estate bubble. But Jerome Powell kept saying that the inflation was temporary. The supply chains would clear up. The overspending would eventually kind of work its way out. And the market is sort of like a bump in a snake moving back toward the rear of the snake. And eventually everything would clear out. Well, the problem is that the combination of all of these factors, buying up $9 trillion in assets and sending all this cash into the system, which is then being distributed out to a business and being distributed out to a mortgage and being distributed out to an individual, right? All that money that's out there is then inflating all the pricing. So bottom line is what you end up with is a three factor disaster area that leads to long lasting inflation. Factor number one, supply chain. Factor number two, overspending. Factor number three, the Fed. Okay, that combo is going to create superheated inflation, which is why you see it in the U.S., but you don't really see it as much over in Europe. So when Joe Biden says it's just the supply chain, that's not correct. It's overspending. It's the Fed. It's not just me saying this. It's former Obama administration undersecretary of the Treasury, Stephen Ratner. Okay, there are a lot. It's Larry Summers. This is not merely a supply chain phenomenon. It is also overspending. It's also the Fed, which is why when Joe Biden says what we really, really need to do is spend more money, all he's doing is making this worse. When he says, what if we had the Fed continue to set the rates really, really low? All that is doing is making this worse. Now, to Jerome Powell's credit and to the credit of the Federal Reserve, they're now trying to bring this down, right? They're trying to get, they're going to try to divest themselves of those $9 trillion in assets. They're going to raise the overnight interest rates in order to ensure that less money goes into the system. They're going to try and suck money out of the system and put those assets back into the system. Okay, all of that is going to lower the phenomenon of monetary inflation. There's only one really big problem in the long run. Supply chains will iron themselves out. They will. There's one really big problem, and that one's this one. Okay, the fact is, that one ain't going away. That's not going away. As we suggested, when you have $30 trillion in national debt, that means the interest payments on the debt are going to comprise an enormous chunk of your budget in future years. It means you're going to have to raise taxes. It means you're going to have to pay people back somehow. Okay, how are you going to do that? The answer is probably economic stagnation. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not as concerned about inflation being a long-lasting phenomenon. It'll get cleared up. Might take a year, might take 2 years. But in the end, what we did here is we completely reshaped the nature of the economy in the United States. We made ourselves way more dependent on the government. Not only did we make ourselves way more dependent on the government, we spent more money than has ever been spent in human history. We've set a new baseline on what kind of things we'll spend money on. If that continues, you're going to see low growth from here out into the future. Okay, that's the real danger. So as inflation clears up, watch for stagnation to set in. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. If you're flying this long holiday weekend, be prepared for crowded airports, full planes, and higher than normal chances that your flight will be delayed or even canceled. National correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
Airlines have stumbled badly over the last two holiday weekends, and the number of Americans flying over July 4th is expected to set records for the pandemic era. The problems are already popping up, with high numbers of cancellations this week, some caused by heavy thunderstorms. Tracking service FlightAware says American Airlines canceled 8% of its flights on Tuesday and Wednesday, while United scrubbed 4%. As for the highways, gas prices have eased below $5 per gallon nationally, but they're still high, and government data suggests Americans are driving a bit less, with demand for gas down about 3%. I'm Ben Thomas.
Well, Americans will definitely pay to play this 4th of July. According to Farm Bureau, cookout foods will cost about 17% more. Biden's top economic advisor says Americans will continue to pay high prices due to the administration's world agenda. When asked on CNN to explain high prices to American families, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese said, quote, "What you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm," end quote. American is offering its pilots a pay boost. Rhonda Rockster has more.
As airlines say they're facing a pilot shortage, the Fort Worth-based carrier is offering to bump cockpit checks by 17% through the end of 2024. That means a senior captain on a big plane like the Boeing 777 could earn a base salary of about $425,000 a year. American's offer comes after United struck a deal to give its pilots pay raises over the next 18 months. United pilots are voting on that offer through mid-July. Pilots at Delta, Southwest, and Alaska also in contract negotiations. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of Trust Link Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
It's tough relying on unemployment payments, even worse when those benefits are delayed because of a cyber attack.
That's the deal for thousands of people in several states. A company called Geographic Solutions informing clients that a cyber attack disrupted the processing of jobless payments and job-seeking efforts. Now, the company has told Tennessee officials that their system will be up before the 4th. Problems with jobless aid also hitting Louisiana and Nebraska. Jason Walker reporting.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is appealing the UK government's decision to extradite him to the United States. His lawyers say that Assange would face inhumane treatment in the United States and that he would not be able to receive a fair trial. Assange has been in custody in the UK since 2019. News and analysis at townhall.com. New York's legislature approves a sweeping overhaul of the state's handgun licensing rules. The bill is almost sure to draw more legal challenges from gun rights advocates who say the state is putting too many restrictions on who can get a gun and where they can carry it. At a news conference, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said state lawmakers must take action.
We view them as only temporary setbacks because I refuse, as I've said from day one, I refuse to surrender my right as governor to protect New Yorkers from gun violence or any other form of harm. We're not going backwards. They may think they can change our lives with the stroke of a pen, but we have pens too.
At a press conference earlier this week, the Democrat said that she did not need data to support her gun control measures. When asked by a reporter if she had any numbers supporting the claim that concealed carry holders are the ones committing crimes, Hochul says she didn't need any numbers. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, you may have noticed that one of the things that the left loves most is to hijack corporations and then use them as tools in order to do all of their political whims. Well, Dan Sullivan is a senator from Alaska, and he's proposing a new bill in Congress that would actually help prevent some of this from happening. Senator Sullivan, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Ben, great to be on the show, and you're doing a great job, so keep it up.
Hey, thanks so much. So let's talk about the Index Act. So Basically, we have these large investment advisors who are now controlling the proxy votes of the people whose funds they invest, and they're able to use those funds in order to cram down a bunch of environmental social governance standards on companies that, frankly, the people who invest with them have no idea what BlackRock or State Street or any of these other investment advisors are even doing with their money.
You're exactly right. And, you know, my bill's simple. You've already defined the issue. My bill's simple. It says, hey, the right to vote, these shares, should actually go to the beneficial shareholders, right? The people whose actual investment money it is, not the investment advisors of these huge money managers who run these index funds. And here's the issue, Ben. It's an unbelievable amount of power that these investment funds have. You mentioned BlackRock. If you look at BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, very recently they managed $21 trillion in assets. $21 trillion. They were the majority shareholder in over 90% of the S&P 500. And last year they cast almost 25% of all shares voted in public companies in America. It is unbelievable power. And what my bill says is that's a quirk in the law. Now look, these guys have been successful in what they do. They get low fees for investors who want to track the market. Okay, that's great. But they shouldn't have that much power to really completely not only influence corporate governance in America, but become a gateway for activists who try to get things done through shareholder resolutions that they can't get done here in the Congress. And so it's a really important issue. By the way, there's a lot of Democrats interested in my bill as well. I don't have any on yet. Some of the Democrat senators I've talked to actually want to go further than what I do. I'm just saying, hey, let's make this simple. The people who actually own the shares, you and I, right, pension funds, let them vote the shares, not these three companies and, you know, their managers who oftentimes push for far left agenda items that they can't get done through the Senate or the House in the Congress.
So, Senator Sullivan, what's the mechanism by which we get people to actually take control of their own shares again? Because very often when you invest, you just kind of throw your money into some sort of 401k and then Vanguard controls it. And you're not going to take the time to read the proxy votes that are being put forward. I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands of pages every year, depending on the number of companies that you're looking at. So how do people actually take control of this sort of stuff?
So look, and we fully acknowledge, as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with one of the investment fund CEOs right after this show today. We fully acknowledge that this is not, this will be complicated. That's why we have, for example, in my bill, a 1% cap. If it's below 1% of what is managed by this investment fund, those shares would not be included. So you have a certain amount of kind of base amount of significant ownership. But when I've talked to financial advisors and other companies, and even these guys, they can actually do this, right? BlackRock actually is starting to do this with many of its shareholders to get them the ability to vote the shares. And here's the other thing, Ben, that comes up a lot. You hear, well, look, these people, these shareholders, they don't have the knowledge. We should make sure the professional investment advisors are the one voting the shares. That's a real condescending view of corporate governance, of corporate America, right? The shareholders should be given the opportunity. And in many ways, a vote not to vote the shares is, in essence, a vote itself, right? So we also make sure that corporate governance procedures, like, for example, quorums at shareholder meetings, will not be impacted by our legislation. So we've worked through a lot of the specific details. It can be done. Will it be somewhat complicated? Yes. Will shareholders who now have the right to vote say, hey, I'm not going to be bothered by it? That'll happen. But they should have the ability to make that decision. Right now, that $21 trillion, think about that number. That's as big as the U.S. economy. That $21 trillion in assets is voted on by a very small number of people, many often with a very far left agenda. And that's a quirk in the law. The law is never meant to give those investment managers that kind of incredible power over corporate America. And again, my bill is pretty simple. Give the right to vote the shares to the people who actually own the shares.
And Senator Dan Sullivan, the act is called the Index Act. It would amend the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, requiring investment advisors of passively managed funds to vote proxies in accordance with the instruction of the fund investors. Now, Senator Sullivan, when we talk about the fund investors, who are we actually talking about? Because it really is not individuals. Usually the fund investors are like 401k programs run by states, for example, or it's some sort of, actual pooled group of money. So who are the fund investors we're talking about?
It can run the gambit, right? You know, if you have a 529 account, you know, those are actually individual investment accounts that millions of Americans have taken out for their kids' college education. Those are often run by these investment fund managers. You're talking, I'll give you an example that I like to cite, like some of the union pension funds, right? The laborers, building trades. These funds, these members are often very pro-resource development. You know, the laborers in Alaska, great union members, they want to do oil, gas, mineral development. It's good for their union members. It's good for their workers. It's good for our country. It's good for our national security. So they have millions and millions in pension funds that are run by these management companies. And yet these companies will then vote against their interest by saying, we're going to put forward shareholder resolutions to, for example, divest all energy development proposals at companies in Alaska. That happens, Ben. That's actually how I got involved with this. You saw a number of these Wall Street banks, Wall Street insurance companies saying they're not going to invest in America's Arctic for energy development. Well, America's Arctic is my state, right? And I would call these CEOs saying, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing? You're blackballing my workers. You're blackballing people who produce American energy. And you have no problem investing billions and billions in the Chinese Communist Party in China? Like, what the hell's up with this? I don't get it. And as a U.S. senator from Alaska, it kind of ticks me off. And the more I dug into this and pulled on this string, the more a lot of these banks were being driven by shareholder resolutions, driven by these investment managers with this huge power, even over Wall Street banks. So it's very interesting. The reaction that I've had from a lot of CEOs on this legislation is overwhelmingly positive because they're having the same problem that Americans view this as a way of putting forward policies that are not supported by the American people. You know, there was a poll recently, 65% of Americans want to produce more American energy. It just makes sense. We have the highest environmental standards in the world. Come to Alaska. There's no place in the world that has a higher environmental standards on the production of American energy than we do. We need that kind of energy. Look at the price at the pump right now. And yet these investment funds put forward shareholder resolutions that do the opposite. So what we're trying to do is make sure, again, whether it's a pension fund by a union that drills oil rigs in Alaska or a 529 account holder, to say, you get to vote the shares, not the investment manager who's managing the fund.
You know, Senator Sullivan, you mentioned the energy industry, and we are currently watching as gas prices spike around the nation. Joe Biden is, of course, blaming the war in Ukraine, despite the fact that gasoline prices have been rising in the United States basically since the moment he took office. And he's currently trying to browbeat oil and gas companies into lowering gas prices while simultaneously calling for more regulations, disincentivizing investment. You know, what you're talking about here is a major factor in increased gas prices, because you have the government combining with all of these investment funds to basically undercut investment in the energy industry. And then they whine the minute the gas prices go up after you've destroyed all incentive for new refineries to produce more or to be brought online or for new drilling to even be done. I mean, the kind of stuff that you're trying to thwart here has a real impact on people's day-to-day life.
Ben, you are 100% right. And the irony and just the ridiculousness of watching President Biden and his team whine about high energy prices when they have been the direct, their policies have been the direct cause. And look, I actually think they want high energy prices. When you look, listen to the president, listen to his rhetoric. When he was a candidate, he was 100% clear. We're going to drive the energy production, oil and gas, out of business, right? He said that. John Kerry says that. Gina McCarthy, they all say this, that, hey, higher energy prices are going to, quote, accelerate the move to renewables. This is purposeful. And what these guys did, and trust me, I see this every day in my great state. Day one, they started doing some really critical things to the energy sector. One, they said, we're going to stop production. We're going to limit production, or we're going to stop it altogether on federal lands. I see that every day in Alaska. Number two, they said, we're going to stop energy infrastructure from moving forward. Keystone, LNG terminals, the ability to move energy, they're going to delay or stop. And number three, related to my bill, they're going to go to Wall Street, John Kerry, Gina McCarthy, and browbeat financial institutions to quit investing in the American energy sector. I mean, just look at the new SEC regulation. The chairman of the SEC told me during his confirmation process he would not focus on climate because that's not the expertise of the SEC. They just put out an 800-page rule that is a ridiculous attempt, in my view, to choke off capital to the American energy sector. That's what they've been doing. And then what's the result? Well, now when they see energy prices going high, they're going hat in hand to the world's dictators, Venezuela, Iran, Saudi Arabia, begging for oil while they're still trying to shut it down in Alaska. I mean, this is insane policies, and I think they're going to pay in November at the polls.
That's Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska. Really appreciate your hard work on a really important issue, Senator, and appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ben. Keep up the great work.
All righty, coming up, we'll be joined by Steve Forbes to talk about the taxation and inflation policy of the Biden administration. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, You'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the tax and spend policy of the Biden administration, the inflationary policy of the Biden administration, is garbage. Steve Forbes is a longtime business analyst. He is the creator of Forbes.com. He joins us on the line now.
Good to be with you, Ben. Thank you.
So, let's talk about the status of the economy. We've now hit bear market territory. The Biden administration seems utterly confused about all of this. The Wall Street Journal says that they were shocked, that the Fed was shocked. I'm shocked that they were shocked, frankly. It seems weird to me that they thought that in the aftermath of what was essentially an artificially induced economic coma during COVID, that at the end of that, the big problem was going to be weak demand after you pump $7 trillion into the economy.
Well, that's exactly right. And the book points out there are two kinds of inflation to get your head around it. One is what you call non-monetary inflation, like locking down the economy, disrupting sophisticated supply chains all over the world. Or you have a drought, so prices are going to go up. And the thing about what they did with COVID is they underestimated how sophisticated and complex these supply chains are, and that different countries have different reactions and different openings up. We see China going again in this idiocy of no COVID policy. So they're locking down their commercial center and disrupting supply chains again. But normally, as we point out in the book, these things, if you just leave the economy alone, these things work themselves out. After World War II, we went from a wartime economy to a peacetime economy. Took 2.5 years, a lot of disruptions. You don't go from making bombers to refrigerators overnight, but things settled out. But unfortunately, this administration is making things worse by waging war against energy, reducing artificially energy supplies at a critical time when energy supplies around the world are low. OPEC does not have much capacity, extra capacity to pump into these markets. So they took a bad situation, making it really dire. They're waging war against businesses. And then you have the other kind of inflation is monetary inflation. And what gets overlooked is the Federal Reserve was already undermining the integrity of the dollar. Not, monetary inflation is when you reduce the value of your currency, usually by printing too much of it. And the Fed was doing that even before COVID hit. So when COVID hit, you had this massive spending. You had these crazy lockdowns. You had both non-monetary and monetary inflation coming together. And these people are clueless. They didn't see it coming. And they're like doctors who don't know what the how to fight the disease. You know what they are? They're like doctors 300 years ago who bled patients to cure them. That's why the Fed wants to induce a recession, because they think that's the only way to fight inflation, which is absolute nonsense.
So, you know, what are the long-term threats to the American economy? I'm frankly more worried about the economic stagnation, I think, that Joe Biden is ushering in here for the next decade, given the amount of debt that we're now pouring on top of the American economy, given the amount of spending that we're pouring on top, given the taxation and regulation he's talking about, than I am even about the inflation problem right now, which is being exacerbated by supply chain issues.
Well, and that's the danger. And then you'll have economists say, oh, this is a long term. These are trends you can't fight. We heard that nonsense before 2017. They still haven't answered why suddenly when you have a tax cut, the economy shows signs of life. They still haven't answered that yet. So I don't think we're going to have a decade of stagnation. I think the reaction is going to be in November and in 2024. So severe, there'll be an opportunity. And I emphasize that word opportunity for Republicans to do something right like we largely did in the early 1980s. That is drastically reduce taxes, reduce regulations. You know, Biden says, oh, I'm for infrastructure. Then they put on rules that are going to delay the implementation of infrastructure projects. Hello. They're waging wars against the freight industry and the railroad industry, the best in the world, better than Europe and Japan. So I think you're going to see an exact opposite of it. But the key thing is, well, let's use the word sustainability. Yes, do a good tax cut, but keep doing tax cuts like we did in the 1920s. Keep whacking away at regulations and doing things like principle-based regulations where you have a few principles and let people figure out how to do it instead of thousand-word rule books and stuff like that. And a stable dollar. Focus on a stable dollar. And people ask, well, how do you do that? Well, the Fed sort of did it in the late 80s and mid-1990s. Greenspan, Alan Greenspan was the chair of the Fed at the time, and Greenspan admitted publicly he sort of had a dirty gold standard, a half-baked gold standard. He watched the thing. Sadly, in the late 90s, he did not do that anymore, and we got the crisis of 2000 and then 2008. But ultimately, and this will sound strange today, so maybe some of your listeners want to put their hands to their ears, especially if they're the left, we're going to get a gold standard. It worked for 180 years for this country. Let me just give you one number, very important number. We had the highest growth rates with a gold standard in human history. After World War II, from the late 40s to the late 1960s, the average growth rate of this economy was 4.2%. Since then, since we've had unstable money, which hurts long-term investment, it's gone down to 2.7. Now, people say that doesn't sound like too much, but you compound that over 50 years, and here's the result. Today, household median income is $67,000. If we've maintained our average, a two-century average of economic growth, that median household income today would be $100,000 to $110,000. Now, imagine having a stable dollar and $30,000 to $40,000 more of income. Wouldn't this be a much better place today?
Let's say we go back to a Bretton Woods standard whereby foreign currencies can be translated into gold at the dollar window. You know, how long do you think it would last before America blew that up, given our spending habit? Because that's really what ended Bretton Woods. What ended Bretton Woods is in the 1960s and early 1970s, there was this idea that we could basically spend as much as we could possibly want, and then there wouldn't be a net outflow of gold that bordered on cratering the dollar. Do you think that we could get ourselves under control enough to do that, or is that exactly what we would be forced to do, essentially?
Yes, under the Bretton Woods system, the dollar was fixed to gold and other currencies are fixed to the dollar. So they were sort of on a gold standard once removed. That was because of wartime, post-World War II time conditions. And the answer is yes. But what really did in the Bretton Woods system, which we discussed in the book, was not a formal decision. They thought they could both spend and have a stable currency. They sort of stumbled their way out of it, and then didn't know how to go back on it. You have to know how to run the system. And what becomes clear as we look at in the 50s and 60s, especially in the late 60s, is they didn't know how to run the system properly. So you go back in history, Britain ran a gold standard for 100 years with a fraction of the gold supply that we had, but they knew what they were doing. So the key thing is gold is like a measuring rod, like a scale or a clock. It keeps the dollar stable in value. That's all it does. It doesn't restrict the money supply. You have a booming economy. You have more money. And that's why our money supply during the gold standard increased vastly faster than the pace of gold mining. It just keeps the dollar stable. Not perfect, but better than anything else. So in terms of the system, let's say we fix it at $2,000 an ounce. I'm just picking a number. What it means is if it goes above 2,000, you reduce the money supply, the base money supply. If it goes below 2,000, you increase it. Very simple. And that's what's so frustrating is they try to complicate something that is very basic. You know, you set 16 ounces in a pound, pound. So you buy a pound of cheese. That doesn't float each day. You have 60 minutes in an hour. Fixed weights and measures. It's the only way money works to its maximum good effect.
Well, that is Steve Forbes' brand new book out, is Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Steve, really appreciate the time and the insight.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate being with you.
Alrighty, coming up, Kellyanne Conway was the spokesperson for President Trump while he was in the White House. We'll talk with her in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Owens is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Owens provides top-quality respiratory products and services throughout the North State and Northern Nevada. Products include oxygen therapy featuring the small and portable oxygen concentrators, CPAP machines, and a team focused specifically on providing ongoing CPAP supplies to help you get the best sleep possible. Owens has been in business since 1979 and has been Joint Commission accredited since 2003, allowing them to care for patients in our community when they need them the most. Contact Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. That's 1-800-696-9367.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Whether you are traveling to or from the lake or river or on vacation, even off to a barbecue this summer, spruce up your ride at Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Locally owned and operated for 26 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Closed on Sundays and the 4th of July. La Cabana serves traditional dishes including tamales, enchiladas, quesadillas, and burritos. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Honey, look at my
my sunburn. It's feeling so bad.
That reminds me, my car has a sunburn. I better call Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 530-226-0992.
Your car has a sunburn?
Yes, peeling top coat and paint. Plus, they can also fix that dent and straighten the frame.
Mako, huh?
Yes, Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive.
Seriously, I was talking about my sunburn.
And I was talking about Mako.
Uh-oh, better call Mako. 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So she was one of the most controversial figures in the Trump White House. Kellyanne Conway joined us on the line.
Thank you, Ben.
So why don't we start off with your assessment of the Biden administration so far? So obviously you served in the last administration. The new administration is in place. They said that they were going to restore honor and dignity to the White House. Things have not gone amazingly.
Don't forget competence. The adults will be in charge and unifying the nation. The Joe Biden White House is a man-made disaster, and it's sad. We live at this time. I wish I can tell you that they made good on all of those promises, but America has no confidence in their competence. And you see that reflected in the polling. I think there's tripartisan agreement about the overarching fundamental failings of the Biden-Harris administration to date. They don't think that that crew does anything particularly well. For a while, they had high numbers on their handling of COVID, which I think, oddly, they miss somehow now. But there's absolutely no confidence in their ability to handle border security, inflation, immigration, the situation in Ukraine, the invasion of Ukraine. We have less respect abroad, certainly. People are hurting at the gas pump, at the grocery store. You know, Ben, in Joe Biden's America, we have infants hooked up to machines because their mothers cannot provide them basic nutrition. We have over 106,000 Americans, many of them young Americans, dying of drug overdoses. So I would sum up this White House very simply. They are trying to convince all of us to believe what they say and not believe what we see. And my message to America is believe what you see.
So, Kellyanne, it must be quite frustrating for you as somebody who served not only in the Trump administration, but you were treated as sort of the great villainess inside the Trump administration by the press. You were featured on Saturday Night Live, apparently, pretty much every week as the liar on behalf of the Trump administration. It must be very frustrating to see the kid glove treatment that the media have given to the Biden administration with regards to the enormous amounts of prevarication that happens inside this White House.
Sure, it can be frustrating, Ben, but it's also very dangerous to our democracy. If you don't have truthfulness coming from the White House podium, if you don't have a president who's making promises to the American people on which he can deliver, if we have a vice president who cackles at the most inopportune time, who goes to Europe twice in recent months to basically denigrate Americans and to embarrass us on the world stage, that's not personally frustrating, Kellyanne Conway. That's dangerous to the United States of America because everyone is watching this. And people keep saying, well, if Donald Trump were the president, Putin would have invaded Ukraine. Let's do a quick fact check. Donald Trump was the president and Vladimir Putin did not invade Ukraine. And so many other things were going better. Energy independence, manufacturing base, recalibrated reciprocal trade deal. But sure, for me personally, I mean, look, Ben, I think the real nadir of all of this for the mainstream media was thinking that the children of a staffer were fair game. This awful person, Taylor Lorenz, who calls herself a reporter, who I know that you've had problems with too, she surfaced a teenage girl because, like, she, as she likes to say, she likes to post from, she loves Twitter so she can, quote, post this SHIT from her bed. And in fact, did that and was communicating our daughter, a child, while the mainstream media was covering for Joe Biden's son. He was 51. My daughter was 15. Think about that for a moment. The stories were going on at the same time. 15-year-old is trending. 51-year-old waste of space, son of a vice president who we now know profited handsomely off the taxpayer dollar by flying around the world to China, Ukraine, and other places unknown with his father. Trading on that relationship, obviously, and having that laptop not even investigated. Everybody just was incurious. They knew right away it was Russian disinformation. 51 intelligence, national security, quote, experts signing a letter, not even having seen the contents. And when you think about that, you see not just media bias, not just people who don't want Donald Trump to be the president, are going to vote for him to be president, but actively putting their thumb on the electoral scale, media interference, the likes of which we've never seen. If you add to that all the Russia collusion, illusion, delusion, chapter 30 of my new book, Here's the Deal, all of this is evidence there. It was just a truly remarkable time.
We'll get to more with Kellyanne Conway in just one moment. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at dailywire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on dailywire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show, check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. We're speaking with Kellyanne Conway. Her new book is Here's the Deal, former senior counselor to President Trump. So let's talk about the family situation. It obviously, you know, being in politics and having a spouse who's in politics as well is very challenging. I'm lucky I don't have that. How does it impact your life? Not only the fact that obviously you and your husband, you know, were very publicly at odds over the Trump administration, but the fact that you have kids. I mean, how does all that work?
Well, thank you. A few things. I'm not unlike a lot of working women where they call it the balance, work and balance. I never looked at it as a balance because I think somehow the women end up looking harried and discombobulated. But we are the fulcrum in the never-ending seesaw of life. But I was a staffer in the White House. The idea that my marriage, let alone my children, is fair game for anyone is outrageous. And it was a big shock for me to have George, my husband, of 17 years, change his mind about Donald Trump is not me so quickly, because there he was on election night crying in his black MAGA hat at the New York Hilton saying, she did it, talking about his wife as Donald Trump's 2016 campaign manager, and that remarkable come from behind victory of a very small team, underestimated, underdog, underfunded, understaffed. And so he's very proud, and we made a decision as a family, as a couple, to go to Washington because he also pursued a job in the Trump administration. And he actually pursued his before I pursued mine. But look, Ben, our vows to honor, respect, and love each other are not about Donald Trump. If George wants to disagree with me politically about President Trump or just generally, he's welcome to do that. This is America. But the idea that it would be so public and the idea that I had the two tweeting men in my life, I kept my mouth quiet. I was asked by the media daily, and I said very little, if anything, about it, because I was a public servant. I was working. The taxpayers are paying me to work on behalf of the country, and I felt it was inappropriate. But I do address it in my book, Here's the Deal, in great detail on what it was like. But I was the first person to say, lay off Sasha, Malia, Obama, Chelsea Clinton, the Bush twins. We just don't go there. I think, Ben, there is this implicit, unspoken contract among civilized people to not bring the kids into it. And people do that for kicks and for clicks. And especially this Taylor Lorenz character, childless herself, thin-skinned, blue blood, very spoiled. And basically, she and her editors from the New York Times, I go over it in detail in this 500-page book. I go over it in great detail. George and mine conversations with the New York Times editors and director of standards there, and how terrible they really were in pretending that it was okay to contact a 15-year-old girl, direct message her after midnight when her parents are easy to find. But ladies and gentlemen, lay off the families and focus on the policy work. I also think, Ben, focusing on my marriage or my children was another diversion. You know, if you look at the 2,600 minutes spent on network TV and some of those cable stations on Russia collusion, on the Mueller investigation, where did we get that back? Shouldn't we have been spending that time trying to make fentanyl an everyday word? Shouldn't we have been trying for folks to understand what it means to their bottom line, their economic situation, have these recalibrated reciprocal trade deals with Korea, with Japan, with China, with Mexico and Canada? So it's an opportunity cost. of not being able to communicate all of the policies with the public. Last point on this, it should not be an occupational hazard for anybody's job, for their families to be exploited and examined to that degree. And you know, Ben, I try not to mention too many mainstream media figures in my book, because why would I elevate them in my book? But I had to go there with a few of them, because a few of them really had this reprehensible conduct and were running stories that were not news. They were sort of sugar highs for their own kicks and clicks. And look, I give my daughter Claudia and all four of my children, Georgie, Charlotte, Vanessa, also, these are resilient kids. They've seen a lot. They sacrificed much. And I'm very proud of who they are. These children, they are all minors. Ben, including now, and certainly were them. They have more dignity, class, resilience, discretion, and judgment than most of the adults that thought that those kids were any of their business.
All righty, coming up more with Kellyanne Conway. She's a brand new book out. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts, every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Already coming up, more with Kellyanne Conway, formerly of the Trump White House. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Kellyanne Conway joins us on the line. So I want to move forward to the 2020 campaign because, you know, you talk about 2020 campaign and here's the deal. And obviously there are a bunch of mistakes made by, you know, sort of the White House in terms of the 2020 campaign in terms of focus. One of the big ones, obviously, was appointing Anthony Fauci as the great God King of COVID. You talk about that at length in the book.
I do. I was in the coronavirus task force meeting in the Situation Room daily or taking it from a secure line in my White House office. I tried very hard as a non-scientist, non-medical professional in the group, one of many, just to understand what was happening. And Ben, the bottom line is nobody knew what was happening for a long time. We kept hearing this is the big one, once in a century pandemic. So trying to listen, take notes. But let's go back early on and roll the tape. We had the doctors in the task force, including Dr. Fauci, whose work on AIDS for years I had admired very greatly. And I knew him. I ran into him at Safeway one day, a year or so before the pandemic. He said, "Oh, Kellyanne, you do your own grocery shopping?" I said, "Well, Dr. Fauci, how else would my family eat?" You know, we had a lovely exchange. But we're in there, and they're not wearing masks in the Situation Room. And I write in my book how Dr. Fauci was wearing Dr. Fauci socks one day, but not a mask. And when the vice president's photographer came in, his official photographer came in to just snap a couple of pictures for posterity, all the masks come out. You know, we're going to put on a mask because here comes the photographer. So it wasn't just mixed messages. And there's, I relate this story never before told to answer your question. It was February and President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump are sitting behind the Resolute desk and we're having this big Oval Office briefing from the doctors. And the First Lady says, "Tomorrow our advanced teams are leaving for India. Should they go? Will they be protected? Will they be safe? What's going on with this coronavirus in India?" And she was told, I write in the book that you could read it, and here's the deal, that an audience, she is told by the doctors, "Oh, no." I call them the risk flickers. "Oh, no. India's fine. They just have like three, they have a few cases of," it ended up being an epicenter globally of the virus. So you know what? Just say you don't know. Exercise caution. But instead, people like me, trying to speak out about the coronavirus early on, are taking advice and direct words from the doctors and being pummeled for it. Meanwhile, the doctors go out and say, I mean, Fauci was on 60 Minutes in mid to late March saying, "I don't want to see individuals with masks on. That would be ridiculous." They said that WHO, that we send billions to, Ben, they told us that this is not a human-to-human transmissible disease. What? And so we were listening to the doctors. And we were, we were really trying to figure it out. The president did a very smart thing by putting his vice president in charge of the coronavirus task force because it communicated to everyone that we are accountable and that we're taking it seriously. I think many things about COVID could have been handled better, practically and certainly as goes the campaign. They never really adapted from the booming economy and the Trump accomplishments to this once in a century pandemic. And look, we did very well with suburban women. With women, we beat the queen bee of all, Hillary Clinton, in 2016. But I think that many of those suburban women were looking for more calm and assurance when it came to coronavirus and all the adjunct problems. I'm also very critical of the 2020 campaign. In my book, they had $1.4 billion, Ben, including money from lots of your listeners and viewers. And I feel that they became Hillary 2016. They proved the old adage to be true that the fastest way to make a small fortune is to have a very large one and waste most of it. Where was the money toward the end to run ads in these swing states that ended up being very tight between Biden and Trump? And yes, in 2020, there's no question we had more people voting in more ways over more time than ever before. But be ready for that. When President Trump said in April of 2020, folks, if they do this mail-in balloting, I don't know if we're going to win. There's all kinds of shenanigans. There's all kinds of stuff they can do. His campaign should have responded to that. We had a campaign manager who was very showy with his new wealth, not very showy at the campaign headquarters. And I think when you are a president running for reelection, right, left, or center, you have two things going for you. You have the accomplishments to brag on, and you can argue that we're in crisis right now. We need continuity. Don't change people midstream. The Biden people were very smart by hiding Biden. You know, we used to laugh about it. Biden in the basement. By May, I told the president, you know, I used to chuckle about this, but this is great for Biden. We've never had such a gulf, G-U-L-F, between two presidential nominees in terms of daily and weekly exposure to the public, Ben. They got a lot of Trump, including up at the podium for coronavirus briefings, and they had very little of Biden. And that should have been a tell. But look, people also were, I think we should go back to Election Day. Why do we have like election season, election trimester now? In the state of North Carolina, for example, in 2020, you could start voting in early September, and they were counting the votes in mid-November. What? It's called wedding day, graduation day, election day. We can go back to mostly day of voting. That's been the tradition in this country, and I think many more people would have confidence in the system if we had to show voter ID, if we stopped ballot harvesting, if we stopped universal mail-in ballots, if we stopped pretending that it's such a burden to go and vote. It's a privilege. Exercise it if you wish. Don't exercise it if you don't wish.
We're speaking with Kellyanne Conway. Her new book is Here's the Deal. It is out today. So, Kellyanne, you know, perhaps the foremost reason why the media love to hate you is obviously because you're a woman and you were close with President Trump. And the idea that they promoted throughout the Trump administration is that he was a virulent sexist who hated women and was seeking to abuse women. And this was his past, and this is what he was, and this is why suburban women shouldn't vote for him come 2020. What was your relationship with President Trump like in terms of, you know, being a woman in a position of power?
To coin a common phrase, he was a great girl boss and the best boss I've ever had for lots of reasons, Ben. First of all, I know I was always heard by President Trump, even if he didn't listen to that advice, meaning he went in a different direction. I always know that he looked me in the eye, solicited my counsel, and really sussed out the different options. It was my job and other people around me as senior staffers to make sure he was fully briefed on different matters before he made a decision. Also, I am somebody who's been alone with Donald Trump countless times. I can never even add them up, countless times. And I never felt put upon. I always felt respected. I always felt listened to. I looked around. I write in my book. I looked up around 8:20 a.m. on a random Tuesday or Wednesday at a meeting. Then in like 2018 or 2019, I looked around the room and I noticed Ivanka Trump, Brooke Rollins, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Mercedes Schlapp, and me. Between the five of us, all the highest rank you can have in the White House, between the five of us, we have 19 children, 12 daughters and 7 sons at that moment between the ages of 2 and 16. Now, can you tell me where else the five of us could be working at that level at that time of day with that many school-age children? Don't tell me Corporation X or Business Y, because they'll tell you how family-friendly they are, Ben, in their corporate handbooks. And then when you try to exercise that family-friendliness, you can't go to the dance recital. You can't take off on Friday in the summer to see the baseball games. You can't work from home necessarily. At least pre-pandemic, you couldn't. And so this is somebody who elevated women his entire career in the Trump organization, in the Trump campaign, making me the first woman to ever manage a Republican presidential campaign and the first woman of either party to ever successfully manage a U.S. presidential campaign. Donald Trump put me there, Ben, not Mitt Romney, not John McCain, not anybody named Bush. And frankly, none of the women who ran for president had done that. He did it. He was different. He saw something different. He doesn't fear strong women and women leadership. I felt very empowered, very equipped. And I got to tell you, in those dark days of the media descending upon me and thinking it was okay to speak about me in a way that my young children would see and cry about, how dare they, I felt very cosseted and very comforted in the Trump White House. Never asked for special privileges. And frankly, I did one more thing. Early on, the president offered me press secretary within an hour of winning. And I said, no. He said, you'd be great at that. And I thought to myself, I'd be a terrible press secretary. I'm not even sure what they do. I know I wouldn't be good at it. And one of the reasons I took counsel to the president is I wanted to work on policy, because I find in these White Houses, and the Biden administration bragged about it when they got there, we have an all-female press and comms shop. Well, of course you do. That's where you stick all the women, where you stick them in scheduling jobs. I asked President Trump for a policy job. He said yes immediately and allowed me to put things in that portfolio, like the drug crisis, veterans, helping on the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, helping to support the trade and the manufacturing and immigration policies. You name healthcare, certainly. Education reform, absolutely. And I really feel that elevating women to positions of leadership tells you all you need to know about how he treats women.
That is Kellyanne Conway. Her brand new book is Here's the Deal. Kellyanne, really appreciate the time and good luck with the book.
Thanks for having me, Ben. All the best to you.
All righty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show, but I hope you have a wonderful Independence Day weekend. We'll see you here next week while we celebrate the independence of the United States from those terrible Brits. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The U.S. is authorizing a new $820 million Ukraine aid package. It's the latest package of military supplies sent to Ukraine to help the country fend off Russia's invasion. American basketball star Brittany Griner appears in a Moscow area court for trial, this after an arrest for cannabis possession 4 months ago.
Griner being led to the hearing in handcuffs, with photographers on hand to grab shots. At a closed-door preliminary hearing on Monday in a Moscow suburb, Griner's detention was extended for another 6 months to December 20. The Phoenix Mercury Center and two-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist was arrested in February at a Moscow airport. Police say she was carrying vape canisters with cannabis oil. Griner could face up to 10 years in prison if convicted of large-scale transportation of drugs. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Unvaccinated Army National Guard and Reserve members cannot participate in drills. That according to an announcement by the Army. New York's legislature goes all in with efforts to limit the ability of New York residents to protect themselves with firearms. This follows a Supreme Court ruling that Americans have a right to carry a handgun for personal protection. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul said that she intends to sign a Democrat-backed measure into law. Among other things, the state's new rules will require people applying for a handgun license to turn over a list of their social media accounts over the past 3 years so officials can verify their character and conduct. Gun rights advocates say the legislation not only violates the Second Amendment, but also privacy and free speech rights. Also, people applying for the license will have to get 4 references to be approved. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you have certain chronic conditions, such as heart disease,
asthma,
diabetes, and you're 19 years of age or older, 52,
36,
42, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I'm going to ask my doctor
about getting vaccinated
with Prevnar 20.
We're learning more about the bribery admission scandal. An ex-Georgetown University coach has been sentenced to prison in a bribery admission scandal. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Former tennis coach Gordon Ernst admitted accepting nearly $3.5 million over a decade to designate the children of deep-pocketed parents as recruits, even though they weren't Georgetown-caliber players. His two-and-a-half-year sentence is by far the toughest punishment handed down so far in the sprawling college admissions bribery scandal. Seeking leniency, his lawyer said Ernst, who was paid $55,000 annually, was surrounded by families with wealth and prestige at Georgetown, told himself he wasn't hurting anyone. He's among 54 people who have been convicted in Operation Varsity Blues. I'm Norman Hall.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Biden administration Friday proposed up to 10 oil and gas lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico and one off the Alaska coast over the next 5 years, scaling back a Trump-era plan that called for dozens of offshore drilling opportunities, including in undeveloped areas. Administration officials said fewer lease sales or even no lease sales at all could occur, with a final decision not due for months. The Interior Department has suspended lease sales in late January because of climate concerns, but was forced to resume them by a U.S. district judge in Louisiana. The Biden administration cited conflicting court rulings about that decision when it canceled the last three lease sales of the previous offshore leasing cycle. Global shortage of computer chips forcing General Motors to build 95,000 vehicles without certain components during the second quarter. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So, we're taking off a little bit early for Independence Day weekend, but I want to play you some of my favorite content from the past few weeks. Here is some of my interview with foreign policy analyst Ian Bremmer. Joining us on the line is Ian Bremmer. He is president and founder of the political risk consulting firm Eurasia Group and G-Zero Media. He's also the host of the podcast G-Zero World with Ian Bremmer, and he has a brand new book titled The Power of Crisis. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Ben, good to talk to you, man.
So in your book, you talk about a bunch of geopolitical challenges that you think are facing us. And the idea of your book is, how exactly do we solve these problems? What sort of methods can we bring to bear to solve the problems? So why don't we start with the most obvious problem that has disturbed the globe over the course of the past couple of years, and that is the COVID pandemic. So what lessons do you think we've learned? And it's pretty widespread, you know, accepted that there will be another COVID. It could be more severe. It could be more deadly. We got lucky, honestly, with regard to the death rate of COVID and the fact that it affected the elderly significantly more than it affected younger, more healthy people. But, you know, God forbid there should be another pandemic in the future that's much more severe. What sort of lessons have we learned from the pandemic that we can use going forward?
Well, we're starting with the tough one, in the sense that the United States, in my view, comes out of COVID more divided than it came in. And COVID is a piece of that, the politicization of both sides. Secondly, the U.S.-China relationship comes out with less trust than it had going in, even less trust because of COVID, because of the way the Chinese obscured it, lied about it, for the first few weeks and then ongoing. But there are lessons to be learned. One big one is Europe. The Europeans, in response to COVID, learning how they responded badly to the 2008 financial crisis and also the Eurozone crisis after that, recognized, no, we can't treat the poor Europeans as if they have to go their own way. We have to actually significantly redistribute wealth so that everyone in Europe can get through this crisis. They basically had a Marshall Plan for Europe economically in responding to the crisis that built support for Europe as opposed to building support for Euroscepticism. And furthermore, they were slower than Operation Warp Speed in getting vaccines because they didn't want to pay as much as the Americans were willing to. But they did it at the all EU level, which meant that once they had vaccines, every country, poor and wealthy, had access. So Europe comes out of this crisis actually politically stronger than they went in. And that, I think, is instructive as we look at a response to what is obviously like a very global crisis.
When it comes to a future pandemic that's more deadly, I'm less worried about the lessons that we learned, frankly, because I think that one of the things that tends to happen is people act more alarmed when there is a bigger alarm bell. What about the possibility of going the wrong way, meaning there's another pandemic that breaks out it's somewhat mild as, I mean, again, it's hard to call something mild that kills millions of people, but this was statistically on an infection fatality rate level,
a mild disease. Yeah. It's older people and pre-existing conditions. It was very targeted in terms of who was really vulnerable with COVID.
Actually. Right, exactly. So on the other hand, I mean, one of the things that is possible to take away from here is perhaps people are going to be more likely to engage in the same sort of top-down government control in case of a mild pandemic that actually has some pretty dire side effects and ramifications. So how do you balance that?
First, there's no question that the United States economically responded to COVID with a big, big fire hose and did that under Trump with Mnuchin and Pelosi together and did it under Biden, too. And people like Larry Summers said, you know what, especially the second stimulus, we're overshooting on the fiscal side. We're going to have higher inflation as a consequence. That's part of it. I mean, also the fact that the supply chains were shut down and then suddenly you got this massive demand wave as everything opened up. That obviously made it a lot worse, too. So I think, you know, both of those things are drivers, and you definitely will see the potential to overshoot even more if it was a bigger crisis. But from a global perspective, Ben, and of course, this is a global crisis, we need to recognize that for the last 50 years, the big economic trend was the emergence of a global middle class. The pandemic, and now made much worse by the last 2 months of the Russia-Ukraine crisis, that global middle class is eroding significantly. Those countries, the middle-income countries, they're much more highly indebted. They had to take a lot more debt on. They don't have the ability to respond to populations with big economic demands in the context of pandemic and high inflation. And they're the big losers here. So, I mean, if there's a big lesson to be learned from the pandemic, it's that a whole bunch of those developing countries that when we say, oh, it's democracies versus autocracies and all the democracies are with us, the democracies were the ones that 10, 20, 30 years ago were all saying, go free trade because we're benefiting from that. You're actually seeing that kind of reactionary populism in those countries. India now saying we're not going to export any wheat. Indonesia saying we're not going to export any palm oil. That's precisely on the back of the last 2 years. And I think those are very big lessons that need to be learned, Ben.
So are you calling for more globalization and more integration, or are you calling for sort of less in defense? Because it's very complicated. In one sense, you want more globalization because you want to actually harden supply lines, provide more flexibility in the supply chains. On the other hand, it is the globalization that actually made it very difficult for us to ramp up the economy again due to the fact that, like, I mean, right now, China is shutting down again, and they've had this persistent lockdown mentality throughout the pandemic. They're doing it again, and supply chains are getting attenuated again.
Yeah, you want resilience in your supply chains. I mean, there's no question. Globalized supply chain is what got the Europeans completely vulnerable to the Russians. In terms of energy, and that was a really bad thing. But with that resilience, you don't want the politicization of sudden shutdowns. Like, you want to be able to make the supply chains work in ways once they're resilient. And when you have countries suddenly saying, no, we're going to stop exporting because it just doesn't work for us, you want the developing world to feel like they are actually a part of a functioning global economy. And for 50 years, they increasingly did. And for the last 3 years, they increasingly don't. And it's becoming unsustainable for them. So that's the concern. The other thing I would mention in terms of the lockdowns, the big lesson that wasn't learned here was China. China, you know, they came out of this crisis like a shot. They were the one major economy that actually grew in 2020, and they were complacent. They basically said, oh, we can surveil, we can lock down, we can handle this. And the Americans and the Europeans are the stupid ones. They don't care about their populations. Well, we're now learning that zero COVID does not work at all. And they didn't vaccinate their older populations, and they certainly didn't accept vaccines that worked from the United States and Europe, even though we're in surplus right now. And so right now, the single biggest supply chain challenge in the world is that the Chinese have completely locked down Shanghai for 4 weeks, right? That's a lesson. There is no good reason why the Chinese, after doing so well in the first year, wouldn't actually look at the way this disease was changing over the last 15 months. And they have learned literally nothing from that process.
So, Ian, one of the other crises, obviously, that I think the world is facing that you mentioned here is the crisis of disruptive technologies. And here, again, this is such complicated stuff because a lot of these technologies go to core issues in the West, things like free speech and how we deal with one another. And a lot of us, me included, are very nervous about the idea of some sort of top-down leverage being applied to these technologies in order to, quote-unquote, make conversation better. Because depending on where you're talking about, I think everyone agrees, depends on who's in control, what make the conversation better looks like. So what do you recommend in terms of some of these disruptive technologies?
First, from a macro perspective, I want to recognize that in the 20th century, when, you know, sort of I was getting trained, the single big disruptive technology that was existential was the proliferation of nuclear weapons. We were deeply worried about it. We're like, we must contain it. We have to stop everyone from getting it. Remember, when nukes first came out, the presumption was everyone's going to want them. Everyone's going to get them. We're going to blow ourselves up. And we stopped it from happening. I mean, you look today, and for the last 70 years, that's been an incredible success, but in part because it's a very complicated technology that involves rare elements that are dangerous to handle and easy to contain. Now, when I think about the new disruptive technologies available to the world today, and disruptive AI algorithms, and we don't really understand how they work, but we know they make money, but also things like cyber weapons and lethal autonomous drones, and, you know, moving to the more exotic, even quantum computing. Unfortunately, I think that the genie is largely out of the bottle. In other words, your ability to prevent those technologies from proliferating so that rogue states and even non-state actors will have access to them is incredibly limited. And when we talk about new technologies today, we say, well, we need to make sure that we have as much of them as possible because we need to stop the – we need to beat the Chinese because they're at technological parity. So we need to decouple. We need to cut them off. We can't invest in Huawei. We can't let them in here. And we're not going to certainly let ours be bought by them. I accept that, but I also think that in areas of technology where what we're talking about are existential threats to individuals, to societies, to democracy, and even to our species, we need to be having conversations like we used to have with the Soviets on arms control, that some of these technologies are so dangerous that they need to be contained, that they need to have, you know, sort of common institutions and architecture around them, both with our friends, like the Europeans, the Canadians, the Japanese, but also eventually with our enemies too. And we haven't started that conversation yet. And that's my biggest concern.
Okay. And the final crisis that you talk about in the power crisis, it really deals with three of them: pandemics, disruptive technologies, and climate change. So, you know, when it comes to climate change, it seems like the biggest issue, obviously, is lack of global cooperation. We can talk about global carbon taxes as much as we possibly want. If India and China aren't on board, it ain't going to do a damn thing. And the simple fact of the matter is that if you're India and China and you're developing countries and your main concern is how do I ramp up my economy to take care of these billions of people under our auspices, it's going to be very difficult to get all of those countries to sign on. And it's going to be difficult to say to less developed countries even than those, by the way, you need to keep burning dung because eventually over the course of the next 100 years, you're going to get an increase in the sea levels of a foot. That is not a compelling argument.
It's not compelling.
Right. So what do you recommend in terms of how we address this crisis?
First of all, unlike the two crises we just talked about, disruptive technologies and the pandemic, the climate crisis is one that finally, and not 20 years ago, but finally now, everyone in the world basically agrees on what the problem is, right? I mean, 195 countries have come together and said, yeah, we've got 1.2 degrees centigrade of warming. We've caused it. It's not nature. It's us. And by the way, here are the implications of that today, tomorrow, 10, 20 years from now. Now, there's no question that the willingness to pay for that and how you think we should respond, those are radically different, both politically inside the United States and between the U.S. and, say, China, the U.S. and India. But the very fact that we agree on the nature of the problem, which is increasingly not the case in terms of the pandemic, not the case in terms of disruptive technologies, gives you the ability to start addressing it. And what we're seeing is that you're right. The Americans, the Chinese, we're not cooperating on this. But you're seeing a diffusion of actors all over the world that are massively investing in what the solutions will be. In other words, in the post-carbon energy infrastructure. And China has gotten so far ahead of the Americans in electric vehicle batteries and in supply chain around that, so far ahead of the Americans in terms of solar power, that the Americans, it's no longer save the whales and hug the trees. It's actually people critically concerned about American competitiveness globally. They're saying we are not going to lose to the Chinese in influence over post-carbon energy. And so we're going to invest. And you see that happening with the banks. You see it happening with the big corporations. You see mayors and governors leaning into it, even though the national government is whipsawed from one political side of the spectrum to the other. And so you're right that there's not a virtuous cooperation between the United States and China or the United States and India. But increasingly, there is a virtuous competition with no trust at all. Now, India is the big problem, not China. because China is completely invested in this, including nuclear, which we need to do a lot more of in the U.S. India, in the last 2 months, there's been no spring. Delhi was 120 degrees yesterday. 1 billion Indians living under heat stress. And as a consequence, you've got rolling blackouts across the country. And they're saying, hey, we're going to need a lot more coal. I mean, otherwise, there is no way that we're going to be able to take care of our people. And you're the ones responsible for this. So are you going to pay for it? And what I see is American progressives talking about a Green New Deal, which is all based on the U.S., and not talking about a Green Marshall Plan, where if there is no equity for the people that are going to take it on the chin for our development, then we're never going to get them on board. And I don't know if you saw the dedication of my book, Ben, right at the beginning. It said, to a glass half full, that first half was tasty. And the point was, I'm ultimately an optimist. I'm a hopeful person. And I do believe that there are solutions out there. If we're beaten up enough, we will get this stuff right eventually. But I also think we have to recognize that the major global crises that we're confronting today are pretty much our responsibility. Like, we've made them happen through globalization, through the creation of global wealth, and especially in the hands of people like you and me that live in the most powerful country, the most advanced industrial democracy of scale in the world.
Well, the book, again, is The Power of Crisis, Agree or Disagree. It's fascinating stuff. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Ben, always good to be with you, man.
All righty, coming up, we're joined by a candidate for Michigan Governor Garrett Saldana. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
And 550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Garrett Saldana is a candidate for governor of Michigan. That is going to be actually a hotter race than I think many people are paying attention to. Garrett, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having us on, Ben.
So let's talk about this gubernatorial race. It's been largely discounted. There's you know, there are a lot of races people are keeping an eye on. The Michigan governor's race is really not one of them. What makes you think that Gretchen Whitmer is a vulnerable candidate?
Well, I think if you go all the way back to November 2020, when she hammered down on our kids and took away their experiences, their opportunities and dreams, and canceled Thanksgiving and Christmas, then hammered down even more on our restaurant industry, where she put them at 25% capacity, even though our neighboring states, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, were fully open. I guess COVID just hated Michigan. And so she, at that time, she was just following the political science and polling data, not the real science and data. And so that's what made her very vulnerable. And that's why I decided to run, because a lot of people are just fed up with what she has done.
So one of the things that sort of put you on the map was your protesting of Whitmer's COVID-19 lockdowns. You're the founder of a group called Stand Up Michigan. And you were a very early critic of a lot of the policies that she was pursuing. What really got you motivated to act at that time?
Well, with being a chiropractor, I kind of understand how your body is supposed to work and how virus and stuff work too. And when she was telling us what we could and couldn't buy, we couldn't buy paint and mulch. We could go on a kayak, but we couldn't go motorboating. But then she said you couldn't, you know, God forbid you touch that gas station pump handle, you die of COVID. But now we're dying at the gas station pump for a different reason. So when she did that, that's when I was waiting like everyone else for someone in a position of authority, somebody in a position of power, an elected official to stand up, and they were all being quiet. So that's when I started this group called Michiganders Against Excessive Quarantine, which grew to 300,000 in 3 days, which after that, a movement was born. And so as the leader of this movement, it was my job to direct this energy and this passion into a force to be reckoned with, and that's exactly what we did.
So, Garrett, you're not a politician. You're coming from the outside. One of the things that you're campaigning on is transparency. And you're pointing out that Whitmer has been less than transparent during her tenure as governor of Michigan.
Yeah, she was denying FOIA requests to the executive branch way back in the beginning. She wasn't releasing any of the hospital data, because if you remember, Ben, you know, we were trying to flatten the curve and not overwhelm the hospital systems. And then we started hearing rumors that hospitals were empty, that hospitals were laying people off, and even some of them are thinking about closing because there's no business. And so, again, I think my number one job here is to restore faith in government. And that's a hard job to do. But we're going to do that through truth and transparency, because the Michigan and the American people, we deserve to know the truth.
So we're talking with Garrett Saldano, who is running for governor of Michigan. It is a several way primary. There are, I think, five candidates who've actually made the ballot at this point. I'm not sure there's any real polling data out so far. It's still fairly early by those standards. But what is the race shaping up like as far as what are Whitmer's numbers in the state of Michigan?
Well, she is batting under 50% now. We know that there's going to be 30 and 40% that will vote for her, that will follow her right off the cliff. But when she took away our children's experiences, opportunities, and dreams, that's when she lost the middle. And there's still 45% of the Republican vote that is still undecided. And what we need now more than ever is not only leadership, but we need unity now. And I think people are sick and tired of division in the country. We're sick and tired of the fringe left along with the fringe right. And we need to have conversation again. We need to have difficult conversation from a variety of different people and backgrounds and experiences to not only move Michigan forward, but also our country.
And so one of the things that you've talked about in your campaign, Garrett Saldano, is the big tech crackdown on the ability to speak freely. You actually were... You felt this firsthand in 2020. Maybe you can talk about what happened to you with regard to Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced it firsthand. I mean, they have deplatformed 10 of my platforms over the last 2 years for just speaking the truth. In the beginning, they took our group down, which grew to 400,000 people in 4 weeks, because we were advocating the spread of disease by being against these lockdowns, because I knew in the very beginning that lockdowns are going to do more harm than good. They're going to hammer down on our economy. They're going to cause a mental health crisis. And we were speaking about the immune system. We were talking about there's different therapeutics that could use to fight this virus, and all that was getting taken down, and they wouldn't allow us to have a voice. It was their way or the highway. And so, yeah, we experienced this firsthand, and we need to take care of that here in the future too.
So let's talk about some of the other primary candidates you're up against. So it is, as we say, a very large field. The polls that I've seen in the primaries have it extraordinarily tight at the top. There are basically three candidates all running very close. They're 50%, 45% of people by the latest polls are still undecided. So what distinguishes you from some of the other candidates running in the primaries?
Well, I think number one is my leadership. And that's one thing I've been able to do throughout the 2 years, is motivate and inspire what I feel is Michigan's greatest asset, and that is the people. you know, we are the movement that went after Governor Whitmer's law that she was using to unilaterally control over all of us. And I led that charge, and we gathered 539,000 signatures in 80 days to take that very law off the books, and we were successful. We've also been activating our movement with getting licensed election inspectors so we can make sure that this next election is as integrous as possible. So I'm not your typical politician where we talk a big game and I'm going to say I'm going to do this and that when I get elected. No, we're a movement of action now, and that's one thing that I'm going to bring to the table in the state of Michigan is that leadership, is that tenacity, is that ability to inspire and motivate people to get things done all the way from the local level all the way up to the state level.
Well, that is Garrett Saldano. You can check out his campaign at GarrettForMichigan.com. Garrett, good luck. Really appreciate the time.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much. And we need all of your help, folks. So if you want to help us take back the state and hammer down and take back our country in 2024, please get involved and donate whatever you can at our website, GarrettForMichigan.com.
That's Garrett Saldano. Really appreciate the time. Alrighty, coming up, Disney employees are now freaking out. They might have to move to Florida. Oh, no. Freedom and sunshine is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless
heads. A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Disney employees who are very woke and very invested in their liberalism, they are very scared they might have to move to Florida. Dun, 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 dun. I know, it's super frightening. It's particularly frightening for people like me who voluntarily moved from the hellscape of California to the wonderful free state of Florida. But the Wall Street Journal is reporting that people are deeply worried because, as we all know, according to Florida law, you're not allowed to say the word gay in Florida. If you say that word, then Ron DeSantis's army of evil bursts through the door and just double taps you directly in the head. That's the way that it works down here. So watch out, Disney employees. Or alternatively, everything is fine and welcome to a free state. But according to the Wall Street Journal, the employees are soft. Soft. Oh, my God. In July, Disney told some 2,000 members of its storied parks division they had to relocate from SoCal to Florida or risk losing their jobs. Employees said they were given 90 days to decide. Then, in March, members of the relocating group called on company leaders to speak out against Florida legislation limiting classroom discussion of gender and sexuality. In the weeks since, Disney has become a top political target in Florida, just as these employees consider down payments on new homes there. The timing of the park's relocation has placed the Disney workers in a crossfire of state lawmakers and the world's largest entertainment company. The group represents a fraction of Disney's approximately 190,000 member workforce. But the group's experience underscores the tricky terrain companies walk when they publicly engage on social issues, increasingly becoming a state-by-state debate. What Disney and employees expected to be a difficult but manageable transition has become fraught and public for both sides. Or alternatively, shut up and move. I don't understand. These companies are such cowards. They're such cowards. So we relocated our company from L.A. to Nashville. When we did, we had about 90 employees at the time. We now have about 200 employees. Thank God the company has been rapidly expanding. When we moved, here's what we said to our employees. We will cover some of your moving expenses. That was the entire conversation. Nashville's better. A better quality of life. You're free to stay in L.A. No one is chaining you. Enjoy. And nearly everybody came. That was the entire conversation. And if somebody said, yes, but Nashville, it's a deep red state filled with hicks who married their cousin. You know what we would have said? Well, fine, stay in L.A. where homeless people are shooting up heroin into their feet directly outside of your front door. Like, really, enjoy yourself. But at Disney, you have to take into account the worries and needs of all of your employees. And so much of this, by the way, has to do with HR departments that now run major companies. The rewriting of employment law in the United States is one of the great untold stories of bureaucratic overreach in the history of the country. It's incredible. Really, since the 1960s, federal and state governments, particularly in leftist areas, have changed HR law so that now employers can't just fire people. Now you have to go through all of these rings and hoops to prevent yourself from being sued by disgruntled employees because, God forbid, your employee should disagree with you and you should say, well, maybe we don't have a meeting of the minds, bye. So now you got Disney, a company with almost 200,000 employees. Now we have 200 employees. They have 1,000 times the number of employees we do. And yet they are more cowardly about firing like 20 employees than we are. It's insane. According to the Wall Street Journal, workers have had a variety of responses to relocating. Some employees have already opted to move to Florida. a Disney spokeswoman said, adding that overall more workers have said they would relocate than the company initially expected. Yeah, no bleep, because it turns out Florida's great. Yet displeasure with the move has prompted months of rancor that are unusual for Disney, which has traditionally been a company where disputes rarely spilled into public view and employees were reluctant to criticize leaders. Yes, that's right, because it used to be that Disney was not run by cowards. Disney is a pretty regimented employer, until it turns out the wokesters got involved. And now, if you work at Disneyland, then they relieve all the rules. You're now allowed to dress according to your whim at Disneyland. So I'm a Disneyland aficionado. I've mentioned this before. My kids, my wife and I, we are all Disneyland annual members when we lived in SoCal. And we are big visitors to Disney World up here. And over the past few years, they started changing all the rules. So it was that when you walked into Disneyland 10 years ago, it's pretty regimented in the same way that in the 1970s, if you played for the Cincinnati Reds, you were meant to not have facial hair and mutton chops, right? You're supposed to be clean cut. For Disney, that was part of the brand. Part of the brand was you walk into Main Street, because Main Street is supposed to be like an early 20th century street, and everything is of the period. And now it's like, what if you have tattoos around your eyeball, and also you have pink hair and identify as they, and wear a gay pride pin? It's like, well, what does that have to do with the Disney experience being provided to customers? And the answer is nothing. It's just they're so afraid of their woke employees that they decided to give them all of these special privileges. And well, now you have employees who are openly complaining about it. Yes, because when you give your employees this sort of leverage over you, it turns out that they will take a mile. For some, the political has become personal. One veteran parks worker, for instance, is gay and said he hopes to have a child in the coming years. He's worked for Disney in California for years, said he wasn't comfortable moving to Florida since the new law passed in March. He said he wondered whether his child would feel comfortable discussing his family in a Florida school. Well, here is the thing. I know many gay people who live in Florida. Some of them have kids, and they're fine. Because it's perfectly legal for your kid to say that he has gay parents in a Florida school. It's not part of classroom instruction. That's what the bill says. But again, it just demonstrates what happens when you have all of these corporations taken over by cowards and then controlled from the bottom by the wokesters. Bad things happen to your company, and you deserve every bit of it. Alrighty, in just one second, we'll get to Harvard, my alma mater. They've now decided that they're going to drop $100 million to redress their ties to slavery. Now, you might recall that Harvard is located in Boston, and that slavery was not legal in Massachusetts, like past like 17-something. But yeah, we'll get into that in a second. First, if you have not yet jumped on the Daily Wire Party Bus, a Reader's Pass is a great way to dip your toe into the community. If you're obsessed with news, a Reader's Pass will enable you to read our articles ad-free, including my op-eds, which are exclusive for Daily Wire members only. You'll also get access to our mobile app to read our stories and receive push notifications for breaking news and special content perfect for you when you want to stay up to date on the go. This membership tier is already a bargain at $4 a month. If you're still hesitant, you should check out our special offer right now. We are offering 2 weeks for 99 cents. That's mobile ad-free access to all of the Daily Wire news, exclusive op-eds from yours truly, and breaking news and updates on our mobile app, all for the low price of $1. Give it a shot. I think you will be hooked. You'll get all of that plus 10% off when you use coupon code Shapiro. So, stop depriving yourself. Come join the fun. Visit dailywire.com. Use coupon code Shapiro. Become a member today. Alrighty, so, Harvard has now decided to pledge $100 million to addressing ties to slavery. So just to get this straight, Harvard says that they can, in the here and now today, discriminate against Asians. But they're going to drop $100 million to redress their ties to things that happened 400 years ago. This seems like great logic. Discriminate against the Asian kid with the 1500 SAT who grew up in poverty in L.A. today. Tell him he can't get in because we need to let in a black kid with a 1200 SAT. That sort of discrimination is fine. Also, we're going to drop $100 million on investigating our ties to slavery, which ended in the United States circa 1865 and ended in Massachusetts. Slavery was illegal in Massachusetts since 1783. So, yeah, good luck with this, Harvard. Just geniuses over there. According to the Wall Street Journal, Harvard University has pledged $100 million to redress its historical ties to slavery. The announcement Tuesday coincides with the university's release of a 134-page report detailing its connections to slavery, segregation, and discrimination. The Ivy League's school faculty and staff enslaved more than 70 black people between its founding in 1636 and 1783. So, while slavery was legal in Massachusetts, and that ended in 1783, which I may be no mathematician, that's like 240 years ago. That, they enslaved 70 black people 240, 50, 60 years ago. And they're going to drop $100 million related to that? Like, truly? I do love the idea that every institution in America now has to drop hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to redress the cost of slavery. Like, which other historical grievances is Harvard now going to take on? And for many years, it was well known that Harvard did not allow Jews into its law school. This is very well known. Are we going to track down all the Jews who were rejected and pay them grievances? How about the Asians right now who are being banned from Harvard? Are they going to do that? Of course not. This is all about the generalized narrative that all institutions in America are shot through with racism and that all disparities today between black and white are attributable to slavery, which, of course, is not true. There's some historical hangover because of slavery, for sure. But that's true for all history. All history is contingent. That does not mean that the solution to that problem is to dump $100 million into random research and to fighting racism. This is what they're talking about. Apparently, they have a committee that's going to move to enact recommendations with $100 million in funding set aside. The recommendations are a step in the right direction, although the report does not address the harm to the descendants of slavery. So we still don't know what they're going to do with the $100 million. This genius stuff here from the folks at Harvard. You know, wokeism makes for very, very stupid policy. Alrighty, coming up, you've heard a lot about inflation and the economy inflating at record rates. Well, let's talk about the causes of inflation. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of people worried about inflation, as they should be. We are at record highs in inflation, like 40-year highs. Well, let's talk about what causes inflation. Alrighty, folks, today we are going to explain why inflation is out of control here in the United States. We're going to break it down along three axes. We're going to talk about supply chain problems. We're going to talk about government spending, and we're going to talk about monetary inflation via the Federal Reserve. Okay, so why don't we begin with Joe Biden's big excuse, that is the supply chain. When the pandemic happened, factories everywhere shut down. It is much easier to shut down a factory, as it turns out, than to spin it back up. And the supply chains across the world are extraordinarily integrated in a way that they weren't for most of human history. So, for example, according to some surveys in 2019, nearly 100% of major companies said that they had some part of their supply chain located in China. Well, China had all of these jobs shipped over there, right, all the way over here, because they have very few labor regulations, because they have slave labor in some cases. They have no environmental regulations. So if you're going to create dye, for example, and then just dump the toxic waste into a river, you ain't going to do that in Europe. You're not going to do that in the United States. Wealthy nations can afford to care about the environment. China doesn't care. So China just pollutes up the wazoo. That means that if you're going to produce a manufactured good, then you are generally going to be doing that in China. If you're going to be doing innovation, if you're going to be doing service industry stuff, you're going to be doing that in the West. And as the supply chain starts to become longer and longer in order to account for the differences between labor supplies in different countries, you start to see massive integration between countries. Well, when something shuts down in China, that means that it's going to have an impact on whatever is the next factory that requires the input. There's a very famous essay called iPencil, came out in 1985, all about how a pencil is created. They take the most simple object that you know of and think about how many different countries this thing has had to go through in order to get to you. When you have a pencil, you have the little eraser. Where does the rubber come from? You have the little metal piece. Where does that come from? You have the wood. Where is that coming from? You have the paint on the outside. Where is that coming from? You got the lead. Where is that coming from? Well, now take a complex product like a car, and you're talking about maybe half a dozen or a dozen countries that the various parts have to come from in order to manufacture that. Well, you shut down not one factory, but many factories all at the same time because of COVID. It's going to be very difficult to spin that back up. You're going to see a real shock in terms of the supply that is available to deal with the demand. Now, when the pandemic hit, what people were mostly concerned about is that demand would completely disappear and you get a worldwide depression because people just would not buy anything ever again. Nobody had a job. Nobody had any money. Nobody knew exactly what to do. And nothing like this had really happened in modern history before, certainly not on a global scale the way that this did. And you combine that with the long tail of regulations that have existed in the West with, for example, the ports. So in the United States, the unions in the United States have bargained, particularly on the West Coast, to shut down the ports for certain numbers of hours per day. You have real problems with how containers fit on ships and what sort of containers fit on trucks and what happens if they can't fit into the ports properly. And so what you end up with is at every place in the supply chain, real delays. Let's say that you have a factory in China and it is manufacturing a product and it has to make its way around over to India where it's used as an input. And that's going to get shipped to Brazil for another input. And then that is going to get shipped over to, say, the East Coast of the United States, where it then has to travel across the country. If at every point here you have a delay, you're going to end up with a really, really big delay. One of the big shortages that's occurred here is in semiconductors, because it's difficult to produce semiconductors, because the technological innovation that is associated with semiconductors is largely in Eastern Asia. 92% of all advanced semiconductors are produced in Taiwan. Another 6% are produced over in South Korea. And when you have a shortage in semiconductors, that means that new cars become incredibly expensive. This is why no one can get a new car now. This is why used cars are pricing above new cars. So the problems of supply chains are very, very real. And to pretend they're not is, of course, very silly. To also pretend, as Joe Biden did, that he can just get the ports working 24 hours a day and that fixes it, obviously is not going to do it. But if this were just a supply chain issue, then, again, it would apply to Europe the same as it's applying to the United States. And it doesn't, which brings us to issue number two. How the United States decided to spend during this pandemic. And the answer is we spent more money than anyone has ever seen in the history of humanity. From 2020 to 2021, we added $7 trillion to the national debt. We spent more money than has ever been seen by God or man. The idea was that the federal government was going to pay everybody to stay home. They were going to pay them hundreds of dollars per week to stay home. That lasted all the way from March 2020 all the way until September of 2021. These extended unemployment benefits, for example. What did this do? It told people, why don't you just stay home? People did. People who were working took the money and they pocketed it. By the end of the pandemic, people had more money in the bank, more wealth in the bank than they had at the beginning of the pandemic, while many of them were not working. We also suspended mortgages. We suspended rents. We did all of these things. We blew out the spending in extraordinary, extraordinary ways. We did all of this while producing no product. So it was helicopter money. We just dropped money on millions and hundreds of millions of people while simultaneously putting small businesses out of business by telling people they couldn't go to a restaurant. They couldn't go to a small mom and pop store. You couldn't go to a big chain store because after all, you had to shop, but you couldn't go to like a small mom and pop store. So all those places went out of business, but here's a check to compensate you for your trouble. So what are you doing? That's much more money chasing much less product. What does that do? That creates inflation. So that's factor number two, which is how much money the government spends. Next, and finally, we get to the activity of the Federal Reserve under Jerome Powell and company. So these big boys come in and they decide, you know what? We need to not only temporarily backstop the economy, we need to just superheat the economy. So you understand at the very beginning that the Federal Reserve, which had not experienced, as we say, serious inflation in the United States for 40 years, the idea of inflation had become sort of a thing of the past, so much so that there were people on the left who were suggesting that there was something called modern monetary theory. You could literally spend as much money as you could possibly want, and it would do no damage. You would not get major inflation. You would never have to pay it off. It would be totally fine, right? This was an actual viable theory like 2 years ago. Elizabeth Warren was promoting it. And now it becomes clear that we've got this over here. Okay, so what did Jerome Powell do? He made a mistake. He thought that if there was inflation, it would be temporary. Because after all, the demand that he had artificially created would eventually be met by the supply. And now that relied on a couple of things. One, it relied on actual solving of the supply chain problem, which we've discussed before. But also, it relied on the idea that things weren't being overvalued simply by the fact that there was so much money swimming around in the economy. Okay, so the basic idea here is that the lending rate to the banks was zero, right? It was free for the banks to lend each other money and for the banks to borrow money from the federal. All that was zero. Okay, so what that did is it led to an enormous amount of the bank taking out money and then investing in products that they wouldn't normally invest in. So, for example, Carnival Cruises goes down, right? $6 billion. It's $6 billion on a stock price because the cruises are going to be shut down for a couple of years. Instead of Carnival going bankrupt, basically the Federal Reserve tells the banks, we will back your play. So the Federal Reserve starts buying up assets like never before in human history. The Federal Reserve is currently holding $9 trillion in assets. $9 trillion in assets. Okay, they do this by buying up all sorts of product from the bank and then injecting a bunch of money to the banks, which the banks then lend out at very low rates of interest. This spurs demand. It spurs investment. It means they're going to get an inflated stock market bubble. You get an inflated real estate bubble. But Jerome Powell kept saying that the inflation was temporary. The supply chains would clear up. And the overspending would eventually kind of work its way out in the market, sort of like a bump in a snake moving back toward the rear of the snake. And eventually everything would clear out. Well, the problem is that the combination of all of these factors, buying up $9 trillion in assets and sending all this cash into the system, which is then being distributed out to a business and being distributed out to a mortgage and being distributed out to an individual, right? All that money that's out there is then inflating all the pricing. So bottom line is what you end up with is a three factor disaster area that leads to long lasting inflation. Factor number one, supply chain. Factor number two, overspending. Factor number three, the Fed. Okay, that combo is going to create superheated inflation, which is why you see it in the U.S., but you don't really see it as much over in Europe. So when Joe Biden says it's just the supply chain, that's not correct. It's overspending. It's the Fed. It's not just me saying this. It's former Obama administration undersecretary of the Treasury, Stephen Ratner. Okay, it's Larry Summers. This is not merely a supply chain phenomenon. It is also overspending. It's also the Fed, which is why when Joe Biden says what we really, really need to do is spend more money, all he's doing is making this worse. When he says, what if we had the Fed continue to set the rates really, really low? All that is doing is making this worse. Now, to Jerome Powell's credit and to the credit of the Federal Reserve, they're now trying to bring this down, right? They're going to try to divest themselves of those $9 trillion in assets. They're going to raise the overnight interest rates in order to ensure that less money goes into the system. They're going to try and suck money out of the system and put those assets back into the system. Okay, all of that is going to lower the phenomenon of monetary inflation. There's only one really big problem in the long run. Supply chains will iron themselves out. They will. There's one really big problem, and that one's this one. Okay, the fact is, that one ain't going away. That's not going away. As we suggested, when you have $30 trillion in national debt, that means the interest payments on the debt are going to comprise an enormous chunk of your budget in future years. It means you're going to have to raise taxes. It means you're going to have to pay people back somehow. Okay, how are you going to do that? The answer is probably economic stagnation. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not as concerned about inflation being a long-lasting phenomenon. It'll get cleared up. Might take a year, might take 2 years. But in the end, what we did here is we completely reshaped the nature of the economy in the United States. We made ourselves way more dependent on the government. Not only did we make ourselves way more dependent on the government, we spent more money than has ever been spent in human history. We've set a new baseline on what kind of things we will spend money on. If that continues, you're going to see low growth from here out into the future. Okay, that's the real danger. So as inflation clears up, watch for stagnation to set in. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Republicans pledge to investigate the Biden family if they win the House in November. Rhonda Rockster reports.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer says the GOP is ready to peel back the layers on the First Family's pattern of what he calls placing profit over country. The interview with a ranking member of the House Oversight and Reform Committee published in the Daily Mail after a leaked voice message from the president to son Hunter solidified proof Mr. Biden knew about his son's wheeling and dealing overseas. Comer called Hunter Biden a national security threat and promised to open an investigation should the GOP take back the majority. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A suspect is in custody in New York in connection with the murder of a 20-year-old mother this week. According to NYPD, ex-boyfriend Isaac Argro is charged with the murder of Asia Johnson. Police say Johnson was pushing a stroller with her baby inside Wednesday when a man wearing all black walked up and shot her in the head at point-blank range. Police say that the baby was unharmed. California's gas tax went up Friday on one of the busiest travel days of the year, rising by nearly 3 cents a gallon. And California may be using more fossil fuels in the near future in an effort to keep the lights on in the state. That's after years of closing power plants. Legislation signed Friday by Governor Newsom would give state agencies the ability to buy energy from non-renewable sources in an emergency. In other words, state agencies would be allowed to buy diesel fuel and diesel generators, as well as energy from gas-fired power plants. Americans will get less bang for their buck this Independence Day weekend. The price of fireworks has skyrocketed, with the cost up 35%. That according to the American Pyrotechnics Association. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
An arrest in the murder of a professional cyclist.
U.S. Marshals Service says a Texas woman suspected in the fatal shooting of professional cyclist Anna Maria Wilson has been arrested in Costa Rica. Authorities say 34-year-old Caitlin Marie Armstrong arrested on Santa Teresa Beach and will be returned to the U.S. where she faces a charge of murder. Wilson was found dead May 11th in Austin. Wilson, a competitive gravel and mountain bike racer and Vermont native, had been in Austin for a cycling event. Jason Walker reporting.
Bond is set at $10 million for the man accused of shooting multiple police officers and killing at least two in southeast Kentucky Thursday night. Lance Storrs pleaded not guilty. News and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. new vehicle sales tumbled more than 21% in the second quarter compared with a year ago as the global semiconductor shortage continues to cause production problems for the industry. AP correspondent Tom Krischer reports the number of new vehicles available for sale, not enough to meet demand.
People can't find what they want, and they're having to pay sticker price or above for them, and that's pushed the prices up to nearly $45,000 on average for a new car. And that takes many, many people out of the market.
Uber releasing its latest safety report and the number of sexual assaults. According to the company, it got just over 3,800 reports of sex assault and misconduct from 2019 through 2020. That's a 38% decrease from their prior report. The decline coincides with the pandemic, which resulted in a drop in ridership. More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
It was a big day in Washington as Justice Stephen Breyer retired and Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as the newest Supreme Court justice. Yeah! Justice Jackson made history as the first black woman on the Supreme Court and the first person to make people cheer for the Supreme Court in the past 2 weeks.
Woo! Woo! It's not comedy, it's politics. It's not television programming, it's Democrat Party propaganda. We call it late night TV.
I'm ready for it.
I had to stop for a little drum thing there. Well, happy Friday to you. It is our 4th of July weekend here in the United States of America. Democrats are either boycotting or maybe the traditional flag burning. You know, the Democrats on Capitol Hill the other day, a few of them came outside and they sang Dog Bless America. Because, you know, they don't believe in God. Dog is their co-pilot. And just a few feet away, other Democrats were burning the American flag because, you know, Tis the time for patriotism, Democrat Party stuff. Today is Canada Day, or as Democrats call it, flee to Canada Day, because they keep threatening and promising to flee to Canada, and they never go. It's not an entirely open border, but it's fairly open. They won't let you in if you have a drunk driving address, drunk driving charge in your past. And that's actually true, did you know that? If you had Nancy Pelosi's husband can no longer go into Canada because he's a major. They certainly wouldn't let him drive in unless he just came barreling across at 100 miles an hour, crashing through the barricades and things. Well, happy Friday and welcome. It is 4th of July, holiday weekend. Monday is the holiday. It's a great American holiday. It's unfortunate that, you know, the Democrats have have turned just being patriotic into a divisive political issue along with everything else. We opened there with Jimmy Fallon doing his little joke about it's the Ketanji Brown, the first African-American woman, he said, to be sworn in on the Supreme Court. But that didn't stop ABC News yesterday. Did you see ABC News yesterday? They're not very bright. I like to point this out because it's true. A, they're not very bright. B, they don't follow the news. They don't actually know what is in the news. They don't know anything about history. They don't know what they're talking about most of the time. And they're intellectually lazy and journalistically lazy. But ABC News, they have Twitter accounts, various Twitter accounts, and Good Morning America. Have you heard of that television show? It's a television show, Democrat Party show on ABC. And do they have that George Stephanopoulos guy on that show with the he's the Clinton administration official, right? Not to be confused with the Obama administration officials over at CNN and elsewhere. Good Morning America eventually deleted their tweet praising the swearing-in of Justice Jackson, as they said in their tweet, as the first black Supreme Court justice. That's ABC News. They've got a Twitter account. Not everybody should have a Twitter account, that's for sure. Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in to the Supreme Court on Thursday as the third African-American, the second African-American now serving on the court, right? The first African-American woman, that's African-American women as adults that have gone to law school. What percentage of the population is that, Michael? About 0.something% of the population, African-American. And by the way, a woman, when I say African-American, that means someone who's African-American. And when I say woman, that means an adult female human. Now, she can't tell you what that is. When she was asked during the confirmation hearing, what is a woman? She could be a new Supreme Court justice. Now, couldn't answer that question.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
A little too tough for me. I can't.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
No.
I can't.
Can't?
You can't?
Why? How come?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
Yeah, what am I, an astronaut or something? What am I, some kind of a scientist? So it's like, she wasn't even doing Rodney Dangerfield stuff there, but it kind of said. And then ABC News, that's what they call it. ABC Fake News with George Stephanopoulos of the Clinton administration. They put out a tweet. Ketanji Brown Jackson is sworn in as the first black Supreme Court justice in U.S. history. And there's a picture of the swearing in, and they have their logo on it and stuff. Because that's your news media. They don't know history. They don't follow the news. They're journalistically lazy and inept and incompetent. But I repeat myself. And they're journalistically, intellectually lazy. They're mentally lazy. They're lazy. They should have gone to Catholic school or something where they get whacked for being this incompetent and this lazy. Speaking of incompetent and lazy, another Democrat member of the court, Elena Kagan, absolutely amazing. The stuff that she wrote in this this EPA opinion demonstrates to me, and what she went to, like Princeton, Oxford, and Harvard, I think, right? She's got it's like a trifecta of pretentious resume points, and just amazing. That she said the craziest things yesterday. You know, kids say the darndest things. Elena Kagan said some of the most ridiculous. Not only should Harvard call and ask for their diploma back from their law school, but she should be forced to take a remedial civics class because she apparently missed fifth grade civics, and she has no idea what her role is as a Supreme Court justice, but she revealed, actually, what she sees her role as being on the Supreme Court when she wrote the dissenting opinion. What she wrote in her dissent is very revealing, and not just of her view of the judiciary, but of the Democrat Party's view of the role of the judiciary in our system of government, in our culture, in our society. She is an activist judge, and she wears it on her forehead like a tattoo, you know, like that cop killer guy that was out on parole, out on
on bail the other day, who murdered the police officer. He got the tattoos all over his face. She wears her ignorance like a crown. And it is, it's just amazing what she wrote in this dissent. Didn't have it yesterday when we were still on the air, but we have it now. And apparently she thinks it's just out of the closet here, wink, wink, with this, gosh, our role is to fight climate change as Supreme Court justices. That, you know, kids are going to drown on the East Coast at their beach houses because of what the Supreme Court did yesterday. And it speaks to a fundamental misunderstanding of her role in our culture, in our society. The role of the judiciary, the role of the Supreme Court, she misunderstands all of it. And she trotted out her misunderstanding, her ignorance, in this dissent yesterday. And I can't wait to get to that. And there are a couple of responses, too, from Jonathan Turley and others. Good stuff. So we're going to get into that. Also, the crazy Democrats, they found a judge in Florida to temporarily block Florida's 15-week, I love this CBS News, Florida's 15-week abortion ban. That's a ban? See, they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. A 15-week abortion ban? What would you call Portugal's abortion ban? In France, have you heard of France? They have a lot of different types of cheese, and grooming. It is not really their thing. But the French, just earlier this year, I think in February, extended their ban from 12 weeks to 14 weeks. So in France, where all the CBS News people go on vacation, so they can say, and wear berets and things, and they don't have to shower. It's another benefit if you're a big lib in the United States. But they don't know. They have no idea what their beloved Europe has in the way of laws regarding abortion. But 15 weeks, and that's, I think, Mississippi also, is the 15-week thing. Democrats have their panties in a real twist over this. And France was 12 weeks, and then a ban. It was a 12-week ban, I'll use CBS's language, until February of this year. Now it's a 14-week ban. So these, terrible, horrible Republican, anti-women, fascist, the party of Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein and Anthony Weiner and Bill Clinton going around calling people anti-woman. No sense of irony. And they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. So they found a judge to temporarily block Florida's 15-week abortion ban. Now, they're going to take the time to teach kindergarten children that they might be transgender. Pro-life groups, churches, etc., see an increase in violence after the Supreme Court abortion ruling because the Democrat Party is an extremely violent party. And also, did you see this? This woman, Maya Hawke. You know this woman, Maya Hawke. She's the daughter of Uma Thurman. Uma Thurman is an actress of sorts, and she was either married to or procreated with Ethan Hawke, who's an actor also. And they had a daughter, and the daughter went on late night TV, just like that late night TV clip we played a couple minutes ago. And she says she wouldn't exist if her mother, Uma Thurman, didn't get an abortion. No sense of irony, and they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. It's pretty amazing stuff. So we've got that. Chuck Schumer, who threatened the lives and the safety of Supreme Court justices, was back at it again yesterday because he's an extremist and a radical and a fascist. Isn't that the label that is commonly bandied about? I think that's. And he's because he's a grotesque, genocidal fascist, and he's lashing out again and endangering the Supreme Court with his incendiary, acidic rhetoric attacking the extremist MAGA, terrible people on the Supreme Court, and will cause more needless deaths. Not as many as the Democrat Party, I'll tell you that much. That's a for sure. Pretty amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, but Elena Kagan is my, honestly, I think Elena Kagan, she's an environmental radical, like the Unabomber. The Unabomber was an environmental radical, and so is Elena Kagan. Therefore, Elena Kagan is the Unabomber. That's not true. That's a fallacious syllogism in the study of philosophy. But we'll set that aside for the moment. I'm thinking that Elena Kagan may end up gluing herself to something pretty soon. You know, these environmental radicals, you know, they're in front of the Supreme Court. An environmental radical self-immolated on Earth Day this year, went and doused himself in gasoline, or maybe too expensive for gasoline, some kind of a maybe less expensive flammable liquid, and ignited himself, presumably using a Zippo lighter, because the Bic lighters, they have trouble in circumstances like that, as I understand it. And Elena Kagan, she's an environmental extremist. You know who was also an environmental extremist? That Democrat, the communist that murdered 10 African Americans at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York a few weeks ago. He self-described as an eco-fascist. That's his language, right? That was his language. Michael, you're ignoring me again. I think he called himself an eco-fascist. That's right. He said he was a communist throughout high school. Ask any of his high school buddies. Now he's a member of the authoritarian left. Now Elena Kagan, don't let her get within arm's reach of glue, because she might start gluing herself to stuff. We got that, and and there is more on that. Because what Elena Kagan said, I've never seen anything quite like this. It's very, very revealing, if you asked me, what Elena Kagan said in her dissent. And it speaks to not just Elena Kagan's so-called judicial philosophy, and it's not a judicial philosophy at all by any, you know, ordinary definition. It is a radical political activist philosophy that she expressed in her dissent yesterday. The White House press corps is actually a little upset with Joe Biden. They're not going to say it out loud, but they too many restrictions on the press. That's because Joe Biden is an idiot, and they don't want the press to make video of him while he's being an idiot. The Democrats in the House of Representatives have unveiled their new trans Bill of Rights, their new transgender Bill of Rights. They don't believe in our Bill of Rights, but they tear that down. They've been doing that every day for the last several weeks. Every chance they get, demonstrating their contempt for the free practice of religion and free speech and the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms. They're against all of that, but they're pushing a trans Bill of Rights because, you know, I guess they're looking at their children and thinking, they don't all turn out, you know, like the Romney family, are they? We're at 888-630-9625. Joe Biden, the hypocrite. Filibuster good, filibuster bad. But, you know, that's why it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
You've heard the big news. Greta is back, and she's on Newsmax. Now, Greta's taking on Big Washington and Big Media at 6 p.m. Eastern every weeknight on her new show, The Record with Greta Van Susteren. Greta always gives you the real news. And she leads a big night on Newsmax with Rob Schmidt talking about Biden's economic train wreck. Then there's Eric Bolling exposing the woke agenda. More than 20 million Americans watch Newsmax. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. It's on all the major cable and streaming platforms. If your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, give them a call. Tell them you want them to carry it, or you can switch to a system that does. And download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch it anytime, anywhere. Tune into Newsmax tonight for Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and a lot more. Make the switch to Newsmax today.
Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh. Now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
We tried Dynavite nutritional supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious. Extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LAUGH for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LAUGH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LAUGH for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe and his gang.
I'm going to a wedding here in just about a month, so I'm looking for a gift about $100. And there was like a meat thermometer.
I know Elle said earlier that cash and gifts, there's no difference.
If you're so inclined, you know, we have everything we need already, why don't you help us pay for our honeymoon?
But don't you think that meat thermometer, maybe that is a honeymoon?
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hey, it's Deborah Harry's birthday, a little Blondie birthday song. Let's go to the telephones. Let's see. Let's go to Dave, calling from Olney, Maryland. Dave's not here.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm great, Dave. What do you say, huh?
Good. I just wanted to remind everybody that the idiot in chief, the president of the United States is absolutely right. It was about time that we had a African American female jurist on the court, because the last one who had been put up by George Bush twice in 2003 and 2005 and was much better looking, in my opinion, Janice Rogers Brown, a senator named Joe Biden filibustered her twice, so she never got a vote. So Joe Biden's right. If we didn't have racists in the Senate, we would have had a black female jurist on the Supreme Court by now.
Yeah, that's right. George W. Bush in 2003 nominated Janice Rogers Brown to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia, which is considered to be the stepping stone. It's where Ketanji came from. And it's considered to be the stepping stone to the United States Supreme Court. And Joe Biden obstructed and filibustered and lied and undermined Janice Rogers Brown, an African-American woman, that yet another Republican president was positioning her to ascend to the Supreme Court. And Joe Biden and the Democrats made sure to derail her nomination to that all-important court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. And considered to be the country's second most important court and the stepping stone of the Supreme Court. And Joe Biden also presided over the high-tech lynching of Clarence Thomas, trying to derail his nomination, and didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle, you remember. Because he's a racist.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at kcnr1460.com.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Lives together.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American,
yeah,
who was articulate and bright and clean and nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a storybook, man. There he is. It was a little hard to hear him through his white hood. You'd think he'd know how to speak through the opening by now. I got a text message yesterday from a friend who was just barreling through Washington, D.C. and saw a crazy poster, because Democrats have put up posters all over Washington, D.C. of Joe Biden. And in these posters of Joe Biden, his head is cut and pasted on to Tom Cruise's, it's the Top Gun Maverick poster, right? And because they're a death cult and they're insane, the Democrats took the poster. I'm going to hold it up and show it to Jeff and Michael. It's the poster of Tom Cruise in Top Fun, and it's Joe Biden in a flight suit with his aviator glasses, looking serious with his head turned to the side with his Navy flight suit on and the life, you know, uninflated but inflatable life vest, kind of like Mika Brzezinski. And around his neck. And behind him, there's Chuck Schumer, also in a Navy flight suit, like he's a hero fighter pilot or something. And the 79-year-old Joe Biden and the 71-year-old Chuck Schumer seems older, doesn't he? And then down here, there's Nancy Pelosi, picture of Nancy Pelosi. She looks like an old woman living in the desert. Well, I don't think she lives in the desert, but she there and it says... And so here he's like a superhero, right? And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and they're like heroes of Top Gun. And above the poster, on the top of the poster, it says, President Biden and Congress, colon. I love their colons. On the bottom in giant letters, it says, get climate done. Get climate done, you see. And below that, it says, one last chance. Colon. There's another colon. It's got the summer 2022. This is the it looks like a movie poster. It's in the style of a Top Gun movie poster, Top Fun, right? And Joe Biden is the hero of the story in his Navy flight suit with his aviator glasses, and Chuck Schumer with his reading glasses on the end of his nose. It stays there because of the hair growing on the outside of his nose. And Nancy Pelosi, and then there's some guy with white hair signing a piece of paper down in the corner. I don't even know who that is. But these posters are, a friend of mine sent me a picture, right? Saw this, shot a picture of it with the old telephone, shot it along. And then they've got another poster that goes right next to it everywhere you look in the city of Washington. President Biden and Congress, get climate done. Take action. And there's a QR code. So if you're a member of the death cult known as the Democrat Party, you put your phone up next to this QR code and, you know, do you get the menu for Ruby Tuesday or something? No, you get some kind of Democrat Party fanaticism that is just funneled into your phone. You know, the Democrats have been using the phones and Google and their friends in Silicon Valley to indoctrinate your children for a decade and a half now. You see, what was it yesterday or day before? The iPhone is 15 years old. Did you see that? So they've been indoctrinating your children for 15 years now by getting them to put their phones in front of QR codes. And then, you know, their phone number goes into the system and then they start getting bombarded with the brainwashing that the Democrat Party is putting out there, right? But these movie posters, friend sent this, and he said, oh, I saw this in Washington, D.C. Now, my best girl and I yesterday went out for a hike about because, you know, it was a pretty nice day, a little warm, but we went out hiking about, what, with the summertime and everything. We went hiking about, and it didn't take us long before we spotted these posters that are, you know, litter, I think they're, you know, because they go around and they put them on everything, on electrical boxes and telephone poles, and they put them on stoplight poles and things. They put them everywhere, and they are their political fanaticism, and they're like Jonestown. Honestly, this is the Reverend Jim Jones. He is the Lord of the Flies. Joe Biden is. And the Democrat Party is the zombie apocalypse. They're the glassy-eyed zombie apocalypse. So, as soon as we went out, I spotted one of these things, and I crouched down and took a picture of my own self next to the poster, which, Michael, you Twittered, right? You put it on the Twitter, you put it on the Facebook, and how about Instagram? Did you put it on the Instagram? No, you didn't do that. Maybe he doesn't know how. Maybe Kevin will do that. But we'll get into that later today. Yeah. So there it is. Crouching down, I'm showing Michael the picture like he hasn't seen it. But Jeff, there's Jeff. Jeff hasn't seen it. And all over the city of Washington, these posters of Joe Biden as a fighter pilot. And the absurdity of this is almost undescribable. But I'll describe it anyway, because that's my job. I can describe the indescribable. It's what with you know, my English vocabulary and all of that stuff. But this is very cultish, very cult-like. They got this 79-year-old man who can't string a sentence together, who can't answer a question, who shouldn't be allowed to drive a car and isn't. And they think that he's like some macho. This makes Vlad Putin riding a horse bareback, because he was bareback, not the horse. And it looked like child's play. This is very, very Jonestown. And Schumer is a fighter pilot, too. Schumer. His call sign is, That's what it says on his helmet. And here's Joe Biden. His call sign is, where am I? Right, yeah, because that's what he says every morning when he wakes up with his wife, not a doctor, Jill Biden, in bed, right? What is it? What the hell are we doing here? Is that what he says to his wife every morning? Because he explained what he says to his wife, not a doctor, Jill Biden, every morning. And it's again, one last chance, summer 2022. This is the climate thing. They're insane. And here's what they think. Their guy is Joe Biden at the age of 79.
I get up in the morning, look at Joe and say, where the hell are we?
Yeah, so that is his call sign is, where the hell are we? That's Navy fighter pilot call sign, where the hell are we? And here he is like the superhero. It's like the Soviets or the Chinese. There's this the communist Chinese, of course. The The Communist Chinese famously published these photos of Chairman Mao Zedong, history's number one mass murderer of humanity, 50 million to 70 million people. And he there were rumors that he was in poor health. So they put him in the Yangtze River near Wuhan, and they had him do a little swim, and they took pictures of him. Oh, see how virile our dictator is. He can swim Yangtze River in Wuhan, right? And this is the same thing. Oh, see how virile Joe Biden, he, Navy fighter pilot. You know, if you pulled 5 Gs, he'd die. That's, I know, I've pulled 7.5 Gs again and again. And it's, you know, Joe Biden, he would just stop. He'd become a pancake. And Schumer, same thing with Schumer. But there they are. So they think that their guys are Navy fighter pilots, terrible insult to Navy fighter pilots, and that he's Tom Cruise in Top Fun. And then the punchline is, get climate done. You know, he's like, get her done. Who's the get her done guy again? Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy. So they got the Larry the Cable Guy doing their posters for them. Get climate done. What the hell does that mean, get climate? You know what they think? They think that they elect people that can change the climate of the planet Earth. This goes to, you remember Barack Obama said that when he was elected that the rise of the oceans would slow and the planet would heal.
This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal.
And listen to them cheering. It's like Munich in 33. They're completely insane.
This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on Earth.
Then they opened our borders and bombed more countries than any administration since World War II. Literally true. So, whatever a Democrat is telling you, it's a lie. Speaking of which, we got to update Hillary Clinton, too. Because more talk. Now the drumbeat is coming that Hillary Clinton's going to run for president again. Well, she shouldn't run. She should walk slowly because, you know, we've seen her fall down more than once. We don't really want. You know, they're the party of the future, of youth, of virility. And again, this is like Chairman Mao swimming the Yangtze River. I believe it's the Yangtze River. And it's Vlad the Impaler Putin riding horse, a horse without wearing a shirt. And here's Joe Biden as Top Gun in a Navy flight suit. I have an Air Force flight suit. I don't have a Navy flight. I flew an F-18 one day. And I flew in an A-6 Intruder off the Enterprise three times and landed three times, which is the way you should do it. But I pulled 7.5 Gs sustained again and again with me at the controls. You know, I kind of bragging now. I'll move on. But here's Joe Biden. Here's Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, and they're fighter pilot heroes. This is the imagery. President Joe Biden and Congress, get climate done. One last chance, summer of 2022. And you know what that means? One last chance, summer of 22. You know what that means? That means they know they're going to lose control of the House and the Senate in November. And this is their last chance to really destroy the place, to really wreck the country with their insane, irrational, cult-like mental illness policies, which hold that they, and only they, can slow the rise of the oceans and get climate done. What kind of mental illness? How many kinds are there? Are these people suffering from?
This is for real. It is not made up.
You know, this is Greta Van Funberg. They should have Greta Van Funberg in a flight suit there, too, don't you think? Except she doesn't fly in planes, right? She takes $6 million fiber yachts. Actually, then she flies home because it's all a lie.
How dare you?
That's exactly right.
How dare you?
But the get climate done, one last chance. And here in their psychotic cult-like Jonestown posters, they summer of 22, they recognize as their last chance to lay waste to the economy, to the energy sector, to the United States of America, which is what the left has been angling to do for generations now. Now the Democrat Party's been taken over by the left. They've sunk their teeth into the carotid artery of the United States of America, and they are sucking us dry of blood, of the life's blood, of capitalism, of our economy.
This is all wrong.
You bet your sweet bippy it's all wrong. It's pretty amazing, amazing stuff. Boy. Yeah, so there it is, last chance. And again, they think that they elect people because they've killed God, right? You ever see that picture from Spain during the Spanish Revolution? The communists line up in a firing squad, and they're doing a mock execution of a giant statue of Jesus Christ up on a pedestal. That's the left. And in communist countries, from the Soviet Union and Russia to China and North Korea and Cuba, they kill God and don't allow people to go to church. That's why when we see the left closing down churches during the Wuhan but, you know, going to big dinners and parties themselves, we smell a rat, right? But they killed God, they killed church, but they have after-school Satan clubs in schools for your children. But if the coach wants to pray on the football field, they'll fight him for 7 years all the way to the Supreme Court. Then they'll condemn the Supreme Court for affirming that right. And they, you know, they mock religious people, people of faith, Christians in particular, say, oh, you're invisible man in the sky. But they have their own invisible man in the sky, and it's CO2. And it's causing the secular apocalypse from which we can only be saved by them, by the left. And wait till you hear what Elena Kagan said. This is amazing stuff. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Tom calling from Dumfries, Virginia. Tom, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
I'm good, Tom. What do you say?
I had called a little earlier. The subject had to do with abortions, if I may.
Sure, fire away.
Okay, just wanted to mention that it was some years ago, probably about 8 years ago now, that my wife, who is Italian-born, she's Italian, I met her in Italy, stationed there as a naval officer, through my family. She was best friends with my cousin's wife. Anyways, she said, she came to me and asked, well, what is this partial birth abortion, late-term abortion? And we had a discussion. I pulled some websites, and I, you know, showed her both sides of the argument. I said, you know, you read it, and you tell me. She goes, she looked at this and said, my God, that's murder. It's infanticide. And I go, yeah, thank you. We had this discussion. When we went back to Italy, she brought this up to the family, hers and mine. And they were horrified at the idea. Now, my wife and the family are kind of those that are kind of in the middle. They're like, they believe that abortion is necessary. It's a necessary evil. Uh-huh. But it's for safe, you know, because of, you know, other issues. But for the first trimester, there are very rare cases where it should be late. She says, you make this decision early. You can't just change your mind 6, 7, 8 months into it. And I said, yeah, but then I put up. I said, don't take my word for it. Listen to these leftists. Listen to their arguments. And I tell you, I have Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all the our left-wing media, I have them to thank for making her a conservative. She came here thinking she was a liberal. But she listens to them. She says, these people are nuts. And we just had this discussion the other night. She said, boy, they're just going crazy over this decision. I said, is there any place in Europe that we know where they allow late-term abortion like this? She goes, absolutely not. Not that I'm aware of, not unless they've changed the laws recently.
Right.
She said, this is non-existent. So our radicals that are screaming bloody murder about how we're restricting this. No, they don't allow this in Europe. When they hear the proof, because their media is just as left as ours,
right,
they don't tell the whole story.
Right.
And when you tell the whole story, then they're like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what we heard.
That's because...
the leftist propaganda.
Yeah, which is everywhere, it's everywhere, Tom, and it's... you know, there's a great old saying. It's great because it's one of my sayings, I think. And that is, the most insidious power the media has is the power to ignore. And I've been for years now saying, well, NPR and other media should show abortions. It's like, it's no big deal. Show abortion. Show third trimester. Show right up to the last moment. Show what you're advocating. You know, CBS News gave us a fantastic voyage all the way up Katie Couric's colon. That was a medical procedure that I could have lived without. And, you know, but they don't show abortions. Why? Well, I think we know why. You just explained why, Tom. Yes, it's an amazing world. And in Italy, they restrict the number of weeks too. Again, in France, it's 14 weeks. Florida, Mississippi, they're talking about 15 weeks, and the Democrats are going crazy.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh. Now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS. Along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
If you work remote, Staples has you covered.
A mid-mod desk chair to rejuvenate my ho-hum workspace.
Staples has you covered.
A place to put my papers so I can be more productive.
A storage cabinet that I can roll out of the way on weekends.
Staples has you covered with remote workspace solutions. And now get 25% off storage and filing products, chair mats, decor, and lighting with the purchase of an office chair or desk. Explore solutions for your remote workspace at Staples, the working and learning store. M72, in-store only.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
My dog was scratching and shedding like crazy around the house. When I heard about Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, I thought, why not? Couldn't hurt. We literally tried everything else. Our dog quickly took to it, and after a couple of weeks of adding Dynavite to his food, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and he almost completely stopped shedding and itching. I'm so glad I tried Dynavite.
My dog smelled so bad and scratched herself constantly. We bathed, sprayed, and bathed her again, but no results. And then I heard about Dynavite supplements for gut health, and all of the reviews sounded just like my Bella. After just 2 weeks, she had major improvements with the smell, and no more scratching or dragging her stomach across the carpet. And her coat is more beautiful than ever.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
American Financing is the lender you want on your side when it comes to buying a home. Whether you're looking for a starter home or you're ready for something bigger, they've got you covered. From custom home loans to fast closings and everything in between, you can always expect the best deal. Just call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe and his gang.
I'm going to a wedding here in just about a month, so I'm looking for a gift about $100. And there was like a meat thermometer.
I know Elle said earlier that cash and gifts, there's no difference.
If you're so inclined, you know, we have everything we need already, why don't you help us pay for our honeymoon?
But don't you think that meat thermometer, maybe that is a honeymoon aid?
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I can't wait to get to Elena Kagan, I've got to tell you, because I was reading this morning the things that she said in her dissenting opinion, and I could hardly believe they were coming from an American Supreme Court justice, or for that matter, anyone that attended a law school anywhere. I mean, if you went to like a community college law school in a parking lot, I would think that you would never say the things that she said. Pretty amazing. Also, the Washington Post today, this WNBA player, Brittany Griner, for Griner, little hope for acquittal in Russia. The Washington Post headline, WNBA star trial arrives and could last months. It's already rigged, she says, and she's right, because they're commies. Now, this didn't happen when Trump was president, did it?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.